across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night on Talk Radio.
Yes, and on behalf of everybody here at Talk Radio, a very happy Christmas. Oh no, that was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? That feels like half my life ago. Now tonight, a very important occasion is erupting upon your airwaves, because this is my last, I don't know what you would call, what would you, Hayley's with me tonight, okay?
Hello.
Hayley's going to help me through. I had 2 hours sleep last night. I'm still adjusting to doing late nights. So the old brain might be slightly fogged. You might be able to tell. And if I say something stupid, more stupid than usual, please let me know. No, but this couple of weeks has just kind of flashed past in a sort of miasma of whatever.
Oh, that's a nice word,
it's grand,
isn't it?
God knows miasma. What it means, though. In a kind of miasma, it's just, you know, one moment I'm standing there on the cusp of it all, and it's the 22nd of December, and the next thing it's 2020. What on earth is going on? I have no idea. But Hayley, how nice to see you today.
I know, to see you nice.
Our listener would love to see you with your vision in pink.
Oh, really?
You, Hayley loves pink.
I even brushed my hair today.
Are we allowed to talk about the fact that you love pink?
Yes, yeah. No problem.
Hayley is totally coordinated in pink, so it's a pink handbag, it's a pink
coat,
laptop,
scarf,
and it's even a
gloves.
Pink, but I think it's a bit extreme that it's a pink bottle of water too, though. Don't you think so?
No, if it is pink, I buy it. Yeah. If there's an option. The question is always, does it come in pink?
I mean,
the answer is yes, it's mine.
Before we get to the important matters of the night, though, 03444991000, by the way, it'd be nice to hear from you, because this is my last night doing this. Back to the unexplained, starting Sunday, big show coming. But do you mind explaining why? Why the pink?
Oh, I just like it. It's my favourite colour.
No? Okay.
Yeah, just... never grew out of it, or never wanted to.
No, don't worry, that's cool by me.
I'm sure even Alan's probably got a favourite colour.
Yeah. So look, the runners and riders for tonight. Hayley with me, Howard Hughes. James is on the controls here. James is a bit of a music expert, so we're in for some really great bumper music tonight, coming out of the commercial breaks, or maybe even going into them, who knows. And beyond that, because Hayley always bans me, don't you, Hales, from making any preparation at all. What we're going to do tonight is down to you, really. If there are any matters arising from the last couple of weeks that we haven't dealt with, or maybe something that... I mean, for example, you didn't hear last night, did you, Hayley? You weren't listening.
No, I wasn't. I'll be honest on that one. I'm very sorry.
Very sad that you... Because, you know, our biggest conversation last night...
I will listen back. How about that?
Well, you know, people who expire in the bathroom.
Yes.
Either Don Lacazie or, you know, just generally washing themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think about it. But no, we had a real serious discussion. Now we've got a tradition that I set at the beginning of this holiday period, so-called, where we wouldn't just have Alan Caddick on, as Ian does and everybody else does, but we would give him a build-up that he's never had before. So, with a bit of luck and a prayer answered, very shortly we'll be getting to the man himself, who's standing by in Birmingham. And I think he had a surprise for us last night. We reached the year of 1987. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. I think James is expecting me to do this.
Oh,
bit.
James.
Because normally I get spoon-fed.
James, we need your help. I did say.
Normally I get spoon-fed with this.
I did give pre-warning, James.
No, I can do drag and drop. We can do drag and drop.
James can't hear you.
James, testing 1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Okay.
No, just, you know, it's part of the, what do they call it, the artifice of radio. You know, sometimes somebody that you're working with will do it for you, and James expects me to sing for my supper and do the technical operation himself, myself, or whatever. The big build-up, it's starting now. It's 10:06. It is my last night doing this, and ladies and gentlemen, live from Birmingham, please welcome Alan Caddick!
TV Time Show Supersonic with Judith Chalmers for Concord's 10th anniversary. Read about the legendary Josephine Baker, the dancer of Molly Major, wearing only a bunch of bananas, and why Bob Carroll is also surprised when
Bob Carroll.
Another 250 winning lines in our £50,000 competition. Holiday vouchers worth up to £150 in cash. And the week ahead on ITV and Channel 4. All in this week's top flight TV Time.
Evening, Alan. This is our last... Alan, I'm emotional tonight because this is our last time together in the present series. Which will never be extended, but who knows. How are you, Alan?
Hello, I want to take you back to 1986.
It's a good year. Apparently Bob Carroll... the only word I made out of that was Bob Carroll, geez.
He was on Surprise, Surprise.
Was he? He used to have Spit the Dog. Does he still have Spit the Dog?
Yeah, there was an article about him where he was performing when Spit the Dog was born. And on the cover, it was Judith Chalmers and Concord for Wish You Were Here.
Oh, were they still doing Wish You Were Here? Now, the forerunner of all the great travel programs was probably Judith Chalmers, who was terribly, terribly...
Meant to Morn Holiday.
I mean, she used to do this, what was it called? Wish You Were Here.
Oh, yeah, loved that program.
And they used to go...
It had to be equivalent of a holiday, wasn't it?
Yeah, the BBC did... This was the era. You won't remember any of this, Hayley. But back in the day, I remember. My father told me about it. But the BBC would come out with a programme. Or ITV would come out with a programme, and the other side would copy it. So the BBC came out with a show called Holiday. And it used to be presented by a lovely man, Cliff Mitchell Moore. Right? Very old-fashioned BBC broadcaster, but a real solid, pair of hands on the show. So ITV, Thames Television, as it was, Alan, you will remember, came up with this idea of doing Holiday. And they thought, who can we get to do that? And they got Judith Chalmers, who used to do the Eurovision Song Contest and all sorts of stuff to do that. I'm surprised you remember that, Mr. Caddy.
Yeah, I grew up watching Wish You Were Here on a Monday night at 7 o'clock before Coronation Street.
Well, of course, that would have been in the Midlands region back in the days when there were. We won't go down this road now.
Central.
Mm-hmm. So listen, more importantly than anything, it is a whole 24 hours have elapsed. And I've counted them down since last we spoke. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been doing my usual Friday thing, getting the food in for the week at home.
And you were, the last time we spoke about getting the food in for the week, and this is very serious, I hope you're paying attention, Hayley. Alan was doing some of the cooking, weren't you?
That was at Christmas.
Yeah, I know, but didn't you do some more?
Yeah.
Or was that it?
I do the cooking at home.
Do you? Okay. And are you cooking this weekend? Can I come?
Well, we've got chicken on the menu for Sunday. Talking of menus, what's coming up on the unexplained?
Oh, well, no, look.
That's Sunday.
Hayley bars me
from
Friday. Unfortunately.
Hayley.
As much as I would really like to tell you what is coming up at 10 o'clock on Sunday night on the unexplained, I would be barred from telling you that Peter Davenport, one of the world's most famous UFO researchers, is on. Marcus Chown, one of the most famous and most interesting scientists from London, is on. Nick Pope, the UFO guy, is on. And a whole cavalcade of other people, but sadly, Alan, I'm not allowed to tell you those things.
You just did.
Did I really?
I wasn't paying attention.
I think I'm in for another disciplinary then, Alan.
Well, Monday, the madness returns.
Oh, well, apparently so. That's what I'm told.
Because you've got Ian Lee and Kath and Sam manning the phones.
But, I'm just thinking about Friday at the moment. I'll get through Friday.
Get through Friday night
and Sunday night before it all erupts again. You off to the football tomorrow, just quickly?
No, I'm not going to be heading down Craven Cottage to see Villa get beat by Fulham.
No, are you sure? I mean, come on, have a little bit of hope in your heart.
We're just out of the relegation zone at the moment.
Mm.
And I think if we lose to Fulham in the FA Cup, I think Dean Smith's job is in doubt.
Do you? Football commentary from... I know nothing of any of this. but I'll take your word for it. They might win. You never know. And you won't have been there to see it.
But if they do win, it might be the start of a League Cup, FA Cup double.
It could be. And I expect you to be on here to... When Ian's here, would he allow you to talk about it?
No.
He's a hard man, isn't he? Hey, Alan, it's been lovely speaking with you over these last 2 weeks. We may one of these days talk again. You please take care.
I'll go cross again, Howard.
Well, they will. Yeah, that's almost an inevitability, I think. Thanks, Alan. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's get to Angela in Leicester now. Angela, how's the door?
Hiya, Howard. The door's fine. Did you like it?
I did. Here's something else, Angela, that Hayley missed out on.
I missed this.
Because the big drama across New Year was the new bathroom door. Are you impressed, Angela, that I remembered all of this?
Yeah, I'm impressed.
New bathroom door that's been fitted. And just to prove it, we talked about all the ins and outs of how you fit the bathroom door. Yeah. And indeed, how some people expire in the bathroom. We discussed that,
isn't it? It's very common.
It's very common. You only said that, Hayley, because I told you that.
We did have this discussion pre-show, but it's actually quite an interesting thing, isn't it? And Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston was actually, yes, she was in the
tub. She was in the bath,
And Elvis was otherwise engaged, I think.
Yeah, and still within the literally. Same room, though, isn't it?
But Angela sent me a picture of the new bathroom door. I think it looks very nice, Angela. It's very posh. I like the handle.
It's nice, isn't it? It's better than that radiator bathroom.
I like the handle's nice. It's a copper. It's a copper handle.
Yes, it's a copper handle.
We may just have had the quote of the night there from Haley. No, it's a copper handle. It's like one of those that you would turn to go into a posh office or hotel room.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it originally came from a hotel, didn't did it?
No, it came from my friend because she had a wet room done and the door didn't suit the bathroom, so we had it and it fitted all right.
Do many people have those? Have you heard of people having wet rooms, which is just like, you
oh,
know,
yeah, my aunt's got one.
Yeah. Yeah. I had one.
They're very good for people, especially if they've got mobility problems and stuff.
Mm. I used to stay in those, I'm trying to remember the name of the chain, but France has some great budget, very cheap hotels. Yeah, it's the Ibis ones.
Yeah.
And they're very good. And you have the little basic bedroom, and then you have this room that is just, it's one room. It's basically a shower with a toilet in the corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the money that you pay, it's really good. And that's a wet room, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's practical.
Yeah. We learn.
Happy New Year, Hayley.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year, Andy.
So, Angela, what else is going on with you? What's the plan for the weekend?
Well, got my colouring, the groups are back, so I can stop thinking now, can't I? And I got a recruitment group tomorrow. They're gonna, but I think they got
a recruitment group.
Yeah, I got.
Who's recruiting for whom?
Me. No. And yeah, we do a lot of colouring at the library and stuff, with different groups and things like that. And it's quite entertaining, really.
Okay. Mm. It's all going on down the library. Which is this Leicester Library?
Yeah, Leicester Library, yeah.
Well, since you're in Leicester, I guess that would make sense, wouldn't it? Have you ever been there? You've got the canals there. Have you ever been on the canals, Angela? They're great.
I did when I was younger, because I think the house that I was born in, my parents' house in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
that was down the road. Well, I asked my mum if it's still there. She said, yeah. I might go visit it one day and have a look.
I think I mentioned this at the beginning of our run of these shows. There's the house that I was brought up in Liverpool, I always go back to. And I went back in the summer I was out. The people who live there now must think, this guy's a stalker. Because I took a photograph of the house that I used to live in. So there.
Yeah, we have got photos.
Mm-hmm.
But we went to Canada in 64.
Oh, you emigrated. You lived in Canada for a while.
Yeah, we emigrated, and then we went to the States.
And you lived there?
Yeah, and...
How come you haven't got a bit of an accent, then?
I don't know. I just, no. I didn't get one, because I was only young. I can't really remember some of it.
Okay. And when was that? Was that, what, 19 what, 70s?
No, 60s.
60s?
So I was born in 63.
Where are you?
And must... sister was born in 61 over here in Leicester, and then we went to Canada and then the States, and my mum fell pregnant with my brother and she decided to come home.
And your mum and dad do then for you to go to all these places? Was he in the army or something?
No, well, he was in the RAF. But my dad was an engineer. He wanted a better life for us, but other things kind of changed its course.
Mm.
Politics, different types of politics, the Vietnam War, and stuff like that. That was
the Vietnam War.
Mm. And then Richard Nixon was coming into power. So my mum decided, right, that's it, we're coming home.
Oh, God. I mean, when Nixon came, that's like people saying, if Brexit happens, I'm going to leave the country. So your mother decided that when Nixon came in, and we all know what happened to Tricky Dicky Nixon, she was coming home. You've got a fascinating backstory, Angela. And I bet I'm the only one to have got that out of you, aren't I?
Yeah. Oh, my mum's got loads of... Got a few photos,
mm-hmm.
and my mum's got a scrapbook of all the photos, so she could give me one book and...
Oh. Little photographs of you when you were like 5.
Oh, yeah. I was so little.
There's a picture I put of myself on my Unexplained Facebook page. It was me when I was 3. And I was in the park in Waterloo in Liverpool with a little pair of shorts and a little shirt on with flags on it, flags of many nations sort of thing. I had a white one and a red one, and I was wearing the red one on this day. And I've got these little spindly knock-knees because I'm 3, and a great big head that looks much out, you know, like out of proportion with the body like little kids have.
Yeah, well, I'll find the photos out tomorrow sometime.
You wouldn't believe that it was me.
Nor me.
Seeing me now. Hey, Angela, nice to talk with you.
Yeah,
all right, you take care, and, you know...
I really loved enjoying speaking to you.
No, I've enjoyed speaking with you, and it's thank you for supporting it while I've been here over these last couple of weeks. Because it's always a bit scary, so it's nice to have friends on.
I'll speak to you soon.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, mate.
Bye-bye. Bye. Is this anonymous, this text here? Like, please give your name.
You got a secret admirer?
No.
Have
you ever encountered a squirrel with enticing, darting eyes?
Oh.
Says anonymous texter. Funnily enough, not recently. I did have if you want a squirrel story, we've got one of those for you.
Go for it. I like a squirrel story.
In Bournemouth, they've got a park down by the front. You know, down by the beach. There.
I don't think I've been to Bournemouth.
It's like, and there's a bandstand in it and all that stuff. But it's famous for its squirrels. And they are very tame. And once I had a squirrel run all the way up my leg.
Oh.
Yeah, all the way. I mean, he was fearless, he was.
How did you get it down?
I reasoned with him.
Right.
No, I just, I don't know what I did, actually. I think I probably just sort of indicated that I was walking on when I started moving forwards. But the place is full of squirrels. And if you want to encounter squirrels, there are quite a Bournemouth. They used to have that thing in Bournemouth. Have you ever tried this? I'm addressing my listener, he hails, but you might have done it. They used to have a balloon experience in that park, and a huge tethered balloon, and you could step into the basket of this balloon, and then they would just kind of put you up in the air.
I'd love to do a hot air balloon.
But it didn't move, it just kind of stayed over the static spot.
Oh.
And I don't think it's there anymore. It was great because you could see for miles. Sorry, it was great because you see for miles from there, you know. Fantastic. And thank you to another anonymous texter. You've got to give your name. Otherwise, it's not fair. Wishing us a happy Easter. You may think that's a joke, my chuck, but we're heading there faster than you think, I think. Now, our number here, 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio. And we're here to do your bidding, essentially. So, you know, any thoughts on everything? Have you, for example, did you make a New Year resolution? And have you broken it already? And what was it? Are you going to try again? Or is that it for another year? Or did you make one? We tried to float this last night, but did you make one last year at this time? And you're still keeping it now. You know, maybe it's an amazing act of willpower that you've been able to keep up this. I don't know. 0344. These are just suggestions. And, you know, whatever you want to say. You have an unexplained story, my unexplained listeners. I know you're there. 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
Favorite people to interview. If you ever get to interview Holly Johnson, you better make sure you've got plenty of spare time.
I've not heard that song before. Is it Americanos? It's a song about coffee.
James.
Is it?
Doing the music. James is a musicologist. He knows all
this.
Don't
ask me to beat her up, please.
Oh, I can't believe anybody hasn't heard and enjoyed that song.
No.
It's a tour.
Is it seriously a song about coffee?
It's a song about Americanos.
No, about America.
There's a place where a kid without a cent who can grow to be president. Or inherit Merlin's from your father in this case.
Oh, it's stereo.
You know, you watch the TV, you have a property empire and you become Donald Trump. Or indeed, Magic Kingdom full of Barbie dolls, for example.
Right.
So it's a sort of ironic take, I think, on it. Isn't it, James, do you think?
I don't think he was being entirely serious, no.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. But there you go. Our number here is 0344. 499-1000. Holly Johnson there, fantastically. They all. You were not aware of that song.
No. Or Holly Johnson. I have to be honest with you. I didn't want to say it. But, that's him, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
When you hear the air attack warning, you and your family. You know that?
You've lost me.
You know, a song about when two tribes go to war.
Oh, right,
when
yes,
two
yes.
tribes go to war.
Yeah, you like that song.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, we should have had that one. I know
oh,
that
come
one.
Get with the programme, Hayley.
I prefer that one. Oh, he's on the phone now. I was going to ask James if he could play that one, but he's multitasking.
As we will discover as the night goes on, James is a bit of an expert on the old charts.
Yeah, well, that's why he finds all on the ones you've never heard of, though, because he finds all these, you know, remote songs that only you and him know of.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the gig, really. So anyway, today, like you may have noticed that I'm a man who had far too little sleep last night.
Yeah, and, you need to...
Ended up having a dream.
It's because you have too much coffee late on.
Well, I do, I tell you, I can't do any of this without coffee.
Yeah, I've but you need to retrain. You can, you just think it's psychological, isn't it? It's a crutch.
And the coffee is like, you know what you get when you pump out like a sump on a car? I have coffee like that. I do.
Oh, nice.
For years, because that's how years of doing breakfast radio, which I've done, and you've got to be up at 4 o'clock, maybe 3:30 sometimes.
Yeah, but this is
something has
late
to,
on.
I know, but it's the habits of, you know, 25 years on the radio, excuse me. So anyway, I did manage to get some sleep last night, and I had a weird dream. In about one of these bursts of sleep that lasted about an hour, I had a dream, and I don't know where I had a dream. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it came from.
ABBA's gonna start any minute now.
Old Tommy Cooper video. I had a dream. I don't know where it came from. But I dreamt I was in... Now, I dreamt that I was elected as an MP. And I have very little interest in politics or the people who purvey it these days, I have to say, other than the professional one. And I became a member of Boris Johnson's cabinet.
Brilliant.
And the dream was like three-dimensional, full colour. And I'm sitting there, and Boris is in the corner with his big tousled blonde head.
Brilliant.
Pronouncing and stuff. And I'm thinking, how am I going to pull this? Maybe some of the members of the cabinet
what
are thinking this.
What were you a minister of? Were you a minister or something?
Oh, I can't remember.
Minister of?
I think it was like environment or something.
Brilliant.
But I was the far end on the right-hand side of the cabinet table. Boris was directly opposite, wow. And he was standing up. And the person next to me, Guy, whose face I can't see, but I know that he was important, right? He was disagreeing with what Boris was saying, and he quit and walked out.
Oh, controversial.
And I woke up at the point where I'm thinking, I hope he doesn't think I'm going to quit as well. Now, bearing in mind, I wasn't thinking about Boris. Bearing in mind, at the moment, after 3 years of talking about Brexit, I have not the faintest interest in any of this stuff at the moment, which is why we're doing this now. It was a weird dream. Have you had a dream like that?
I wonder if it will come true. Can you imagine if in 2 years' time you're an MP?
Whoa, don't get me started.
Ooh, might be in your tea leaves.
I don't know. Well, you can do me a reading later. Let's get to Carl in Purley. Carl, how are you?
Hello, Howard.
It's nice to hear your voice, Carl.
I'm a bit stunned listening to that last thing, because I often thought to myself, if ever you became an MP, I don't care what party it would be, I'd vote for you.
Now, why would that be?
Kind.
Is that my general credibility then, Carl?
No, it's just that I've been listening to you over the long time now. Different places I hear you. And I just find you sound like an honest bloke to me. I don't know if I'm right or not.
Well, I think that's probably why it wouldn't work for me in politics, you know.
I think you'd sweep the board, mate.
I don't know. I did think about it once, and I thought, well, I'm probably not clever enough, and I'm probably not devious enough to do it, though, Carl.
You don't have to be that clever, do you?
Well, I don't know, really. I mean,
you have to fake it, I think.
Given some of the
examples. You have to know someone who'll put your elbow you into the slot, and then it's up to you.
And
you're
some
on the
of my
gravy
friends,
train, then.
Yeah, but I also think you've got to have more front than Margate, haven't you? Don't you think so? I just don't think it could be me. I don't pretend to be what I'm not. But it was a weird, weird dream to see myself. And I was wearing a suit, which I never do.
Oh.
Normally I've got an old pair of jeans on like tonight and an old T-shirt. And I've got this, and I can see the polished table in front of me. It's like mahogany. And I've got my little briefing paper in front of me. And the guy who quits, who's sitting on my left-hand side. Now, this is a bit I don't understand. Because he leaves on this little bit of table what looks like one of those sponges that you clean pans with. Not a Brillo, but you know the sponges. He leaves there. What is that about? Now, I did a bit of cleaning. My oven is in a state. I use my oven once a year, Carl, usually at Christmas. And that's all it goes on. It's microwave beyond that. And I had a little clean of the oven. With one of those sponges. But how does that, what goes on in your head that makes that happen?
Why don't you go to a dream expert and they'll put you into a deep sleep and you can find out what was on that bit of paper?
Well, funny you should say that, Carl, because we have one on the Honest Man. Ian Wallace is his name. He was great. He was on the other week. So we'll have him back. Do you have dreams, though? That you remember?
Well, but they're so sort of off the cuff. I don't know what. When you wake up, unless you write it down, you forget it anyway, don't you? But
you do.
But I do have some crazy.
But I have no idea, and I'm really disturbed by it, though. Why? Where that came from? Because
probably, if you've got a radio on at night, you pick up certain things, and that the dream starts listening to.
Yeah, it's the subconscious. Do you have the radio on?
Yeah. Is there ever a time when I don't have the radio on?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So you've probably got a point there, Carl. I think that's probably it. They were probably talking about Boris.
Well, maybe.
And then you were just. And then it just got into my head. Yeah,
sometimes I have to say, though, Carl, I fall asleep with the radio on. I don't actually remember to turn it off.
Yeah, it helps me sleep.
So maybe it's getting into your head.
Yeah, oh, completely.
When you're asleep. I've never thought of that, Carl.
Is tonight any subject?
Oh, well, you can talk about anything, yeah, absolutely.
First one is, when you just said that you go back to Liverpool.
Yeah.
And you stand outside your old house. Is that near Parliament Street, is it?
Oh, well, Upper Parliament Street.
Oh, sorry.
Is that the posh end?
I had relatives that lived there in the 40s. We used to go up there.
Well, it was
50s.
Upper Parliament Street. Those who are listening in Liverpool will know there were some very grand houses there back in the day. It became derelict. Well, not derelict, but run down in later years.
Well, maybe that's where they were living.
And I don't think... you said that. but I think when Hitler lived in Liverpool for a while. Did you know this, Carl?
Yeah.
And I think he lived near there.
I've heard rumours about it.
Yeah. No, he did. He was an artist and he had a little spell in Liverpool. Yeah. And I think he lived near Upper Parliament Street.
You can see the Mersey from the top.
Yeah, no, you can. No, I was further out. I was in Bootle, which is about 4 or 5 miles out. And then we moved to...
My only memories are of the big Navy ships, big American ships passing by, and big cargo ships from America coming.
I hate people who say back in the day, and here I am about to say it, but back in the day, if you think the docks in London as they used to be were big, Liverpool was enormous, and they used to get all of these, because my dad was on the police, in the dock police, so I used to get invited onto all of these ships. And I remember one, there was a Canadian ship called, the Provider, right? And they invited us on board the Provider. The Provider, the Canadian Navy, RMS or whatever it was, Provider, was there to provide all of the food and the fuel and everything for the Canadian Navy. So it was like a supply ship. Now, if you're 11 years old, that's fantastic because it's like Christmas has come early.
One there called the Starlin. That was a corvette that was very much into... catching the U-boats, and the captain died when he came to port, and instead of keeping it, they broke it up. They could have kept it like the Belfast, couldn't they?
But across the water, the other side of the Mersey, they do have a U-boat.
Ah.
There was a U-boat that sank off Liverpool. And they've resurrected that thing and they've turned it into a tourist attraction. I've never been to see it, but
hundreds
I want to.
Of them there. They called it the Western Approaches, didn't they?
Well, I never thought we'd be talking history, but, back in the, when we had to supply this country during the war and we couldn't get food from the continent of Europe because Hitler was in charge, we had to get food from America sent here on convoys. And the convoys were constantly attacked by the Luftwaffe and the U-boats. And they all came out, a lot of them came out of Liverpool. So you get
this. The East Coast.
Yeah. And there's a monument there, right on at the pierhead on the front about it. It's all coming back to me now.
But I go back to where I was brought up in West End, near Chinatown.
I do.
And our dwellings, they were called dwellings, was on the corner of Newport Place.
I know exactly where that is.
You know where the car park is now?
Do people still live there? Are they still
it's gone now.
It's everything. There are not. It's the tourist area now.
It's demolished now.
Yeah.
But you know where the car park is, the council car park in the corner?
Yep, no, exactly that one.
That was our yard there where we played.
I didn't even know that people lived there.
Yeah, I've got some pictures of it somewhere.
Really? And that's as much into... So you were brought up right in the centre of London?
Yeah, I was born up in Holborn in Gray's Inn Road.
Oh, I worked in Gray's Inn Road, Carl.
You know where ITN News comes from?
Yep, I worked in there as well.
Well, that was the old Royal Free Hospital before they moved it.
And I think there are still a lot of terraced houses around that area and cobbled streets.
if you go to Charing Cross Road and look to your left at the back of there, there's a big block of flats there called Sandringham Buildings.
No, I know exactly, and that's well hidden back from, I know exactly where that is, because I used to walk around there.
Well, at the back of that was Newport Dwellings, which was where we lived. But I go up there sometimes in that little corner piece there and sit by the car park. I just sit on the wall there and watch everyone walking past.
People watching. I love people watching.
Well, if you want to hear a story that means nothing about anything, on the night that Radio Luxembourg closed, which was, I think, in 1992, maybe 1991. I think it was 92. It was the last night of famous music radio station Radio Luxembourg. I was early for work and I was doing a shift at that ITN building on the Gray's Inn Road. And, you know, they used to give us free parking in the multi-story there. It was nice because you go and have your dinner there and you would be standing by Trevor McDonald.
Oh, cool.
I used to queue for my dinner behind Trevor McDonald. But I was early for work, so I parked the car near that place you just talked about. And I listened to the sign-off and the last good night of Radio Luxembourg. Then I went to work.
Oh.
You see, I had you not called tonight, I wouldn't have remembered that.
Also, when my dad was billeted up in the war, he was at a place called Kirby Stephen. You ever heard of that?
I've heard of it. I've no idea where it is, though.
It's up near Cumbria.
Kirby. I've heard of Kirby Lonsdale.
But
Kirby Stephen.
I found some papers, and it's got his billeting address in the place called South Road, Kirby Stephen, with a number of the house.
Right. You don't sound old enough for all of this. You sound very young.
Yeah, I'm old now.
It's all right. It's not a crime. I am too. Well,
and,
as young as you feel, though.
Google, you know Google Street Map?
Mm-hmm.
You know Google, you can look at all these roads now, can't you?
Well, you can see how they've changed, yeah.
And I looked at this little house, and it looks exactly the same as I would think it had been in 1945 when he was billeted there.
God.
I've got a funny feeling that that's where my elder brother was conceived.
So now you're in Purley, which is a world away, isn't it? I mean, it's down in Surrey, not far from Croydon.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a change, isn't it? To have a bit of Liverpool in there and a bit of central London, and then it's Purley Way, Croydon.
My mum come from Huddersfield, you see, lad.
Hi.
She was Huddersfield lass.
So isn't that great to have all that experience of all those different places? Not many people get that, you know. Not many people know that.
Her family stretched up from Liverpool, Bradford, right up to the borders, you know, in beyond Newcastle.
Because you talk to people in Liverpool, and certainly when I was at school, if you mentioned London, they would say, oh, they're all Cockneys down there. Birmingham, they'd say, they're all Cockneys down there in Birmingham, because it was another country.
Yeah.
And, right.
And the same with London. You come here, and it's like, you know, all Northerners, it's another world. And actually, we're all the same. We just refer to things in different ways, and we have different accents, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, hey, nice to hear from you, Carl. Are you an unexplained listener? Is that why you called?
Oh, yeah, I'll listen to that.
Stonking show for you on Sunday. If only I could tell you more about it.
One night, you'll have to go through the Voyager. You know Voyager 1 and 2?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Voyager 2 is the first...
Isn't Voyager 2 the first thing to leave the first object that we have made that's gone out of our solar system?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I look at the NASA, you know, their website sometimes. It's completely mind-boggling. I only look at it once in a while.
Mm.
And it said that now it's left our solar system, the next universe that it will meet is 42,000 light years away.
God, they're probably still showing Crossroads out there.
And it takes, I think, 8 minutes to get a signal. It's still pumping out radio signals.
Well, probably longer, because I think Mars, Haley, you're looking blank now.
Yeah. Oh,
but I think it takes 20 minutes for a signal to get back to Mars. James would know this. James Masterton.
Come on,
you can't just sit back and do nothing.
James, you look like you're from outer space. You'll know this.
You look like an alien. How long does it take for a signal? I'm asking James here, because he knows everything. How long does it take for a signal to get back from Mars?
Well, it depends on which of the aliens are communicating with me at any one time.
You mean it depends on the communication technology? That's a cop-out, and you know it.
Yes. I cannot answer that with any definitive force to the man who does the science fiction show.
But Howard trusts you so much. I think whatever
fiction.
You said...
You know
science
what I mean.
Science fiction, my
You're
bottom
the only
is.
Program on this radio station that deals with anything remotely approaching actual science.
In the words of Ricky Tomlinson, science fiction, my bottom.
Is it true that something's heading towards us faster than the speed of light? A bigger body of
Well, in my case, it's redundancy, but... I was, funnily enough, only before we came on air, I was reading about the fact that there's a professor, I've got the piece in the newspaper here, because I'm so organised, there's some professor somewhere, because I thought I'll have to talk with him on a Sunday night, who says that meteor strikes on this Earth are much more common than we've been told.
Ooh.
I'm trying to find this thing with some... So, you know, it's a bit of a cosmic shooting gallery. All of this. I'm trying to find it. Anyway, it's here somewhere.
Bit of useless information again.
Hey, I bet you're great down the pub, though, because we've just had a conversation that you would have in the pub. Don't you think so? The way one thing leads to another. Don't you think?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Are you still there?
Can I throw in a real bit of useless information?
We're always ready for a curveball.
You know, you were talking about doors earlier.
Yes. And Angela, and very serious for Angela, she's had a new bathroom door.
If it's a timber door or one of those press doors, you never paint the top or the bottom.
Why is that? What, to allow for expansion?
Nobody
ever told me that, but I've sometimes, because I'm sad, you know, you sometimes go to a place and you look at the finish of the door and you run your hand along the top. And if you just feel the wood chips... That's the reason. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You're checking for dust or something?
No, because the door will expand. Is that right?
Oh. No, I mean,
sometimes
when you put your fingers over the top, why would you touch?
Sometimes you'll find a key up there for the security on the alarm as well.
Right.
That's where people hide their little keys.
How come you know this, Carl?
Just years of totally hopeless information stored in the back of the head.
Years of breaking into hotel rooms.
No, no. Often people leave a house and they've gone, and when you go in, you have a good look round, you'll find keys hidden there and all sorts of stuff. We used to work all the time. We were working in and out of houses, and it's surprising what you come across.
So what were you doing? Was it legal?
Telephone engineer.
Oh, okay, all right. So you'd be going into places and they'd be rewiring the phones.
Yeah, and if you went into a house or a flat, we were up in London. Someone said, oh, no, you can't go in that room. We just stand there and say, well, if we can't go in there, we can't clear the fault. So they had to let you in there, whatever they didn't want you to see.
You've probably seen it all before anyway.
Seen it all before.
Exactly.
Are you still doing that? Is that what you do now?
No, I gave that up.
No, because I was hoping that you could answer a question for me that I've been trying to answer. Broadband.
No. Yeah.
If you, with certain broadband providers, if you have a problem with the download speed, then they will say, well, we'll have to come in and check, and of course we'll charge you if the problem is in your property. But they can't answer the fact that if the upload speed is what it's supposed to be, then the problem can't be in your property and your wiring, because the upload's working okay. It's only the download that's wrong. But they still say, we've got to come in, and if we say that the problem's inside your flat, in my case, then you have to pay a fee for them to fix it.
Most of them have got a gadget on your screen where you get a readout of the rough speed.
Yeah, have you done a speed test?
Yes, no, there's a thing called OOKLA, OOKLA speed test.
Yeah.
And that will tell you what the speed is. And that's how I called their bluff. I said, but hold on, you want to come and check... If the problem is my side, because my download speed, you're promising 60.
Yeah,
and I'm getting,
but they say up
32.
To 60, that's how they get away with it.
Well, I'm getting 32 and my neighbours are getting 40.
All right.
Don't forget, if you're being fed from a telephone exchange, even on Virgin or anyone, it'll all come across on copper. Then it might be a bit of fibre at your end.
Oh, God, mine's all copper.
Might
where
be
I live...
Can't be all copper.
The wiring where I live is so old, and this is true, that when it rains, a couple of days after, if you make an old-fashioned phone call, and I don't use the landline very much, it goes like that until the wires dry out. It takes about 4 days for the wires to dry out.
Remember in the old days? Oh, I'll say the old days. They used to say, do you mind just hitting the transmitter? You remember that?
I do.
Transmitter.
I am old enough to remember going on holiday to places in Devon and Cornwall where they had button A and button B on the phone.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
They had, like, old wartime phone boxes that they hadn't replaced with the 1970s ones. And it had 10 pence in here and hit button A. And what was button B for a refund? I can't remember.
Yeah, button B was your refund if you ever got it. A lot of people used to stuff a bit of cotton wool up there, and then your refund never came out, and they'd come round later on, pull the cotton wool out, and collect a load of pennies.
You know all the tricks. My God, Carl.
No, I didn't do it. I knew that, because we worked on payphones as well.
Oh, dear me. How life has changed. Carl, I could talk with you all night. Thank you very much. Please take care and Happy New Year.
Same to you and all of you. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Who says this? John. John, thank you for this. Adolf Hitler was born in... Yeah. No, he didn't. The suggestion of as to how Adolf Hitler got his name. That looked like it was a sensible... No, it's fine, John. I know what you're saying. Liverpool and Adolf Hitler living there for a while and doing some painting. Also, what else? Hang on. Somebody's telling me how long it takes. I've lost it now. I'll tell you in a second. How long it takes for a signal to get back from Mars. We'll tell you all of that. See, this show is full of...
Brilliant.
Full of bathroom doors and technical information that you may be of use to you at some point in your life. Howard and Haley here, 0344-499-1000. We are the Mighty Talk Radio.
On DAB, digital radio, online and on mobile.
This is Talk Radio.
So glam queen, sing the blues, a love supreme.
60s, Twiggy set the pace. Way back then she had the faith. That's all in the past. Legends built to last. But she's got something new. She's a power girl in a 90s world. And she knows.
Yes, the lady is a vamp.
I know that, and you don't know that.
That is the most animated that you've been.
Because it's Spice Girls.
Hayley. Oh, is it them?
Yes.
Well, no, isn't you're looking at a man who worked with Mel B. Not once, but twice.
Lady is a vamp.
Okay, no, I don't know that one. Was that on one of their albums? That wasn't a hit, was it?
The first album, Spice, wasn't it, James?
It was, yes, the very first album, yes.
Get in.
One of the highlights of it, though.
What year would that have been, then?
96. So if James is ever off sick, I can do this. I can
like
do this.
Would
I
happen.
Can answer all the questions.
And that from somebody who's never heard of Holly Johnson.
Yeah.
I'll get swatting.
So then.
Stick that in your CD player.
Thank you, James. You're now my favourite person.
I wasn't before.
You're so dismissive. I did work with Mel B twice.
Oh, right. Yeah, but he played Spice Girls on Talk Radio. I mean, that deserves an award in my view.
At your request.
Does it not mean anything to have associated with Mel B? Not once, but twice. I worked with Mel B on the All-Star Animal Awards on TV. A TV show that you will have forgotten.
Claim to fame.
Because everybody else has. And I also worked with her on a radio show. So there.
Big climax.
Oh, hang on.
This is the best
you like those.
He's right, this is the best bit.
Thank you very much.
So you didn't get the thank you very much
next week. No, I mean, I didn't know that one. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Oh, no.
I like that one.
That's standard.
And, of course, we were talking about Jerry Halliwell. Before we came in here, of course, and to commune with you, we were talking about Jerry Halliwell. And she did a song called Lift Me Up.
Oh, yes.
And I don't think it was a hit, and I loved that song.
Oh, no, it was a hit, I
bought
think.
That song. Lift me up.
Yeah.
When the day is dawning, lift me up.
Just
sorry,
like
James,
that.
James will find it
just
for
like that.
Sue in Kent says, now this is going to make you laugh. Thank you for this, Sue. I need all the support I can get at the moment. Sue in Todbridge says, please can we keep Howard Hughes on every night at 10 p.m? Thank you, Sue. That's so kind. Thank you. Here I am thinking, what's going on? The last 2 weeks, Sue, have gone by Just like that. Well, maybe more like that, in a flash. Jay says, if there are squirrels on Mars, what do they do? Well, I don't know. And we, for a start off, we have to establish that there are squirrels on Mars, Jay, and we don't know that. And Rob, thank you very much for this. We were talking about how long does, I knew somebody would know the answer to this. How long does it take for a signal, to get back from Voyagers 1 and 2 and from Mars? And Rob's got the answer. Okay. Did you look this up, Rob, or did you know this? I said it was roughly 20 minutes back from Mars, and I was kind of right, but not really. Because precisely it's 13 minutes and a maximum of 24 minutes for a signal to get back from Mars. I wonder if signals from Earth, like TV programs and this radio show, bounce around the cosmos and end up on Mars and bouncing around. Just a thought.
Gosh.
I don't know. Voyager 1, though, 19 hours for a signal to get back from there. You might as well send a letter. That'll probably take
it's
5 years.
It's an emergency, is it?
Voyager 2, 16 hours. Well, it's space. It's the final frontier.
I'm just saying, if there's an emergency up there and the message doesn't get down for 19 hours.
Right.
I mean, if it's like a health emergency or something,
I suppose so.
It's a bit late.
There's not much you can do about it. But then you're in space. It's the final frontier. It's where, you know, men are men and people are people and aliens are aliens. On occasions. Barry in Hornchurch. How are you, Barry?
Oh, hello, Howard. It just reminded me, talking about squirrels.
Oh, yes.
You remember Frank Muir and Dennis Norden?
I have a recollection, yeah.
Yes. One would ask the other, what was a squirrel doing up the tree? And the other one would say, nutting.
Exactly. And that would be terminologically and intellectually correct.
Of course.
But, you know, we don't have people of that, I don't think.
Oh, I think Frank Muir was wonderful.
Standard. Frank Muir did those commercials, didn't he, for chocolate?
Oh,
remember those?
He?
Everyone's a fruit and nut case.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah.
I remember seeing him. When I was a student, which is 1,000 years ago, I remember he walked past me once in the street and he looked so worried, and I thought, but that's Frank Muir. He's always laughing. What's he worried about? And I'll never know, because he's not with us anymore. No, so, Barry.
Neither is Dennis, for that matter.
No, Dennis, nor... Well, Dennis... dare I tell another story? I suppose I can. Why not? Because it's my last night. I can do whatever I want. I used to do the intro for him. I used to be the man who used to say, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dennis Norden. And they used to pay me money just to say those words.
Oh, what show was that on? Cool.
Dennis Norden's Laughter Files.
Oh, right.
If you go back and check, I think my friend Cara Noble did some of them. Cara, if you're listening, we were both on the same radio station for a while. Mm. And then they asked me to do it. It was London Weekend Television, LWT.
Yeah.
And I used to go in there and I used to think, this is money for old rope. But please don't tell them that. And they used to sit down and they give you the show, which would have a time code on it. And you would have to say within a particular 5 seconds that they would tell you, okay, it's coming to this point. And then they just point at you and you go, and you'd have to do it really loud because they wanted you to be as loud as you could be. So I'll have to stand back for this. Otherwise, I'm going to deafen everyone. And you have to go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dennis Norden. Down there like that. And if you go to YouTube, you might well hear me doing that. Not that you would want to.
Well, I will do, I promise.
Well, nice.
Howard, talking about your CV...
I just remembered,
actually, tonight, I called you up on the radio on another station 16 years ago.
On another station?
Know what you were doing then?
No.
You had a... Actually, it wasn't a guest. This bloke was doing a show, a phone-in show, and it wasn't Mel B, it was Tony B.
What, Tony Blackburn?
No, Tony Blair.
Oh, my God, did you call them?
I called up on that show.
Did you?
And I was desperate to get on, and I just suddenly thought, that this is bound to get on. I was the last question on the hour or what it was. I said, when you eventually step down as Prime Minister, would you consider being a phone-in radio presenter? I don't know if you remember that.
I remember it clearly, and I think we had a conversation about the wages at this particular place as well.
Yeah. Tony Blair said to you...
You've got a great memory.
Yeah, Tony Blair said, oh, what's the pay like here, Howard? And you responded very wittily, oh, the pay's fine, Prime Minister, but the tax rates are a little high.
And what you don't know is, because it wasn't video in those days, Tony Blair gave me a look that would melt steel when I said that, because... Okay. And he just looked at me and he said, there was a pause, and he said... Yeah. Touché. And I thought, my bosses at the time, and the company that ran that radio station doesn't exist anymore, so I can say this.
Yes.
They were behind the scenes, scared witless that something was going to go wrong. And I was the guy, this was Tony Blair's first ever phone-in that he did himself, right?
Yes.
It had never been done before, and I was the person who had to anchor it. So I read the news at the beginning of it, did the weather forecast, and said, and the current temperature at the Houses of Parliament is 16 degrees, and then time check, and then I introduced him. And the idea for me being there was that if anything went wrong, I was supposed to, or I was supposed to move him between callers. That was the main thing. I was supposed to get him, so I would say, thank you very much, Haley in Dartford, and now here's Barry in Hornchurch. What do you want to say? But that comment about, and I thought to myself, because the bosses were too serious for their own good, and they were more terrified than I was, and I was on the air with the Prime Minister, and I was scared, but they were terrified beyond belief, and you could see it on their poor little white faces, you know, the colour had drained from them, and I thought, okay, there's a comment that I can make here, and the bosses are not going to like it, but I don't care. Right. And he just said, he said, Howard, what's the pay like here? And I said, oh, the pay levels are not bad, Prime Minister. Not true. The pay levels are not bad, Prime Minister. The tax rates are a bit of a problem, though. And he looked at me as much to say, you weren't supposed to say that.
No, but that comment, that little snippet ended up on a trail for the station.
Oh, did it? I never knew.
With my question. And that was the first time a Prime Minister had done, I mean, now they go on the radio, but the first time a Prime Minister had done a radio show himself. And it was such big news. I remember this was in the early days of the internet, and it was on all these websites, the Times of India and everything, and they all mentioned Barry from Holloway. That was me at the time. And I even heard from the Daily Mail, they thought, because it was such a fawning question, it must have been Alistair Campbell calling himself Barry from Holloway.
I don't know, that comment, though, that whole thing, it made news around the world, so you'll still see it on websites for newspapers outside this country. But it didn't actually, you know, it didn't do much here. I thought, I don't know.
There was a whole page about it in the Mail.
So that was when I had a little go. You know, for a time when I was doing like London radio, Tony Blair was the Prime Minister. They used to listen. The Tony Blair and his kids used to listen to us. That was when I was working in the Chris Tarrant days. So once I was doing this thing called Party in the Park, and this teenager comes up to me and he says, well, we listen to you at home all the time. My name is Ewan. And I'm thinking, oh, yes. And then I said, are you Ewan Blair? He said, yes, I am. Hey, listen, Barry, we're out of time for this hour. Yes. Thank you very much for getting
Howard,
in touch.
You.
Take care. And thank you for reminding me about that. This is Talk Radio. Howard and Haley here.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
Oh, my father had a rabbit and he thought it was a duck, so he stuck it on the table with its legs cocked up. He mixed a bowl of stuffing and he left it on the shelf. But when he came to stuff the duck had stuffed itself. So he took it out the oven and he sprinkled it with salt, and then he put it back again and said, I've had a thought. If this duck's a rabbit and it's only got two legs, when it wandered round the garden, how come it laid some eggs? I've never seen a duck cluck to yet a chicken quack. I've never seen a rabbit with the feathers on his back. Never heard a horse bark or seen a donkey grunt. I've never seen a heifer with its udders at the front. So he shouted to my mother to come and have a look. I've got it in the oven, this thing I'm trying to cook. My mother started laughing, said this is a funny dish. Nothing like a duck to me, it looks more like a fish. So she picked it and pricked it and covered it with oil. She bumped it and thumped it and wrapped it in tin foil. Turned up the oven to get a bit of heat. But when she went to close the door, it jumped out at her feet. I've never ever seen my mother pass a motorbike. She was running faster than a double-decker bus. Out on the main road and twice around a roundabout, people standing looking wondered what had caused the fuss. Well, we had to go and catch her and bring her to the house. Everyone was asking, do you think she saw a mouse? I went into the kitchen, I thought I'd have a look. See if I could find the thing my mother tried to cook. And then I saw our tomcat sitting on a shelf with an empty piece of tinfoil. He'd ate the thing himself. And the sad end to my story, I'll tell before I go. Was it rabbit, duck, or fish we had? We'll never, ever know.
That's brilliant.
James, thank you so much for that. That is a man, I would call him a real broadcaster, right, called Ray Moore. And he was like a disc jockey come announcer. He was always doing TV trails, like he'd say, a tremendous night of entertainment on BBC One. Now, he'd been taught to say, and that actually sounded like him, but he'd say BBC One. He'd been taught, because we're both from Crosby, Ray's sadly no longer with us. You might remember him. He was so, what a turn of phrase he had, because, you know, Scouser. We both went to the same school. He was years before me. But they used to say to me, do you really want to be on the radio or the television? We used to have somebody here at this school called Ray Moore. He was famous. If you work very hard, you might be like him. Of course, it never happened. But that was his song. My father had a rabbit, and he swore it was a duck. And the last line is what a lot of us from Liverpool do. If we, you know, go and work in announcing sort of thing, we lapse back into it. And he says, rabbit or a duck, we'll never, ever know. Ray Moore, thank you so much for that. Now, listen, if you are younger than 35 or 40, you won't ever have heard that. No. So you thank me. Tomorrow morning you wake up and you'll say, I listened to that Howard Hughes last night. He's not going to be on anymore after tonight. But God, did I learn from him? And you just to amplify that point. Oh, by the way, our number here is 0344-499-1000. Tonight, as we say, Liverpool, you come on here and say anything you want. It's true, you know. Meanwhile, back at the Zachary Scout Hut. Yes. The days of announcing. I'm a new listener, says this person. Are you listening here? I'm a new listener. Most of my friends in this care home listen to boring BBC. Oh, you don't want to do that. To be there, done that. Or another station playing classical music that you describe as dull. You are much better. Talk radio, says Geneva. Thank you for that. And John, no, I didn't think your comment about that joke about Hitler was rude at all, because I didn't tell it. But no, I suppose we can. Can we? Yes, we can. I'm looking at my producer
here.
Yeah,
go for it.
John said Hitler went to live in Ireland and changed his name to Dictator. That's it, really.
It's just not funny.
Well, I don't know. That's very unfair to John.
Did you laugh?
No.
Well, then.
No, but I would have. If I'd been at school, I would have laughed.
Oh, right, okay.
No, it's fine. Yeah. Don't worry. Sorry, John, this is not making it any easier. It's her, not me, all right? What else?
Try harder.
Oh, I've got one here. It's always nice when they remember your name. Sophie. Thank you for listening. Sophie says, hello, Mike. I'm a Liverpool girl brought up in Childwall, or Childwall, as people from outside Liverpool call it. In South Liverpool, I know it well. My father ran the Belvale Shopping Centre when he retired from the coppers, so I know that. I heard you talk about Hitler and his connection with Liverpool. He lived with his brother, did he? Did he have a brother? Was it Adolf and Andy? With his brother for about 2 years above a corner shop on Upper Stanhope. Are you joshing here? Is this the truth? Upper Parliament Street, it was very near there before the docks. The young Hitler, I read this somewhere, became obsessed with tarot reading after befriending an old lady in Abercrombie Square. Alright, and Sophie says, can you share your email address? Of course. You've got a humdinger of a story? I'm ready for it. If you go to my website, sorry for this, Haley. I've got to give it at least one plug tonight. My website is theunexplained.tv, and you can just click on a link there and send me an email. And then, Sophie, I'm waiting to hear from you, because I want to hear that story. But no, Hitler, people think I'm joking with them. Why would I joke about that? That Hitler lived in Liverpool for a while. Until we sussed him out, you know, and sent him away. And then look what he did. But yes, 0344-499-1000. It's Howard Hughes here and Hayley Hayes. Not looking very impressed. You're not looking impressed, Hayley.
I am. I'm permanently impressed.
No, you see, my general knowledge is limitless.
Oh, I know.
You know, I was once working with Mark Lawrenson, the footballer. In that time when I was doing the football results on, for a very short time, we have to say, because they realized I knew nothing about football. I used to do the 5-to-5 classified pools check on Sky Sports. Greenock Morton 3, whatever team 2, and you'd have to get the intonation right so that you're going up, because people are doing their pools coupons while you're doing it. So you're going up when it's the winner, and you're going down when it's the loser. So it would be like, Liverpool 3, Everton 2. Or if they were both the same, it would be Manchester United 0, Manchester City 0. The way that you've got to get the intonation
I've always wondered how the the voiceover on that manages to keep the same tone. Because it goes on for like 5 minutes, doesn't it? I mean, it's a long time.
You just have to. And the biggest thing I had to remember was when I was doing Greenock Morton, right? Scottish, famous Scottish football club.
Right.
Now, people down in the south would call that Greenock because of Greenwich. And that's, if you say that in Scotland, they will lynch you. So I used to imagine this little bird sitting on top of the studio monitor that I was looking at the results at, because I was seeing them as they came in. And this bird was called a Greenock. And the Greenock would sit there. And I would imagine that the Greenock would peck me and attack me if I pronounced it badly. So that, but anyway, Mark Lawrenson was there as the part of the panel of experts. And I used to have to sit on the studio set. And I had to wear a, you know, collar and tie, even though I wasn't on the, you know, you couldn't see me, just in case the camera went to me.
Did you have jeans on the bottom, though?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, of course, they always do. But Mark Lawrenson looked at me, top guy, Mark. And he said, tell you what, Howard, your knowledge of football, frightens me. I said, I tell you what, Mark, it terrifies me, because I knew nothing about any of it. Apart from the fact that, you know, you asked me, Dad.
You knew all the scores. That's the important thing.
I had them first, back in the day. But they sussed me within about 4 or 5 weeks. They realized I knew nothing about football. Because part of the job, I was okay at doing the announcing bit. But part of the job was having to write match summaries.
Oh.
Now, if you don't know anything about football, you're going to come to a pretty sticky end very quickly, which indeed I did, because I used to have to get everybody to help me. Who scored this? What minute was it in? What did that mean?
So, do you know what the offside rule is?
Well, exactly.
Do you?
No.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. You've got to be offside, haven't you?
I don't know if I know it. James,
can anybody,
you know,
come on and explain the offside rule? Because I've got to say, to my eternal shame, coming from Liverpool, you know, the football of the city of two titanic, majestic football clubs. One at Goodison, one at Anfield. You may disagree with this, depending on whereabouts you are.
Mm.
I should know. And my dad did once, on the beach in Liverpool, try to explain to me how the offside rule works. And I have to say, I haven't got a Scooby-Doo. So if you know how the offside rule works, I wish I could offer you a prize. But there is tight as a duck's bottom here, so there'll be no prize. But just for the honour of actually being here, and for my eternal gratitude, if you can explain to me how the offside rule works. 0344-499-1000. Okay. You're looking
a bit
beneath.
James knows.
James, do you know how... What,
I do, but that would spoil the conversation. How is he trying to engage with the nation here?
See,
the worst thing in the world is when the phone-in host throws out a subject and says, hey, can anybody tell me what colour the sun is?
No,
and immediately some idiot pops up from the corner and says, it's yellow. And that completely treads on the show, doesn't it?
Hayley is meant to be the producer. She's meant to know that. Well, that's okay. Well, you know, these are just some of the things. This is called taking it on the chin. One of the things I have to take on the chin, I would say. But then, what do I know about anything that's worth knowing? I'm still really chuffed that you played that record by Ray Moore. Now, my father had a rabbit, and he swore it was a duck.
I worry that I've peaked too soon now, of course.
Mm. Yeah, what are you going to play next? That's going to be a challenge now.
Mm. Can we have some jingles?
I'm happy. I've had some Spice Girls.
Because we played the Hobart Tasmania song. We want to play the Hobart Tasmania song.
That's a good one.
If you're a part of the nation that doesn't know about the Hobart Tasmania song, geez, you haven't lived. Okay, the Hobart Tasmania song was a jingle that was made specially for Hobart in Tasmania, which one has to say, you know, even with the most charitable will in the world, is not the most thrilling city there's ever been. I think even people living in Hobart, Tasmania would agree with that. But if you listen to this tune, the way these jingle singers sing about Hobart, Tasmania, you would think it was like Paris or Venice or New York. But it's Hobart, Tasmania, and they don't have very... Well, you know, they have some... Well, you'll hear anyway if we play it.
It's terrifically nerdy, but seeing as we're all friends here, it's late on a Friday night, it's the end of
exactly.
the Christmas holiday. After midnight, do you think I should come back from the news...
With the Hobart, Tasmania song?
Yes.
Or with the Jam song?
Well, the Jam song, we can have the Jam... Can we have a Jam song as well? There's a friend I know called Radio, and it means a lot to me.
Means nothing to anybody who doesn't work in radio, but to anybody who does work in radio, it's
well,
the...
in terms of an artistic endeavour, it is...
It's fascinating, yeah.
Orgasmic is the word. Eargasmic, probably, is more like it.
Yeah.
So, let's just get these booked now, shall we? So, 12 Hank, I'm writing this down.
Do I do it with Kermit the Frog's introduction at the start to explain the context of it?
Yes. Okay. I love a bit of Kermit. Please.
That's ironic.
There's another
guy who explained it at the start.
One of these days, I'll tell you how, and I should have brought the recording in. I might have it on my phone if you want to hear it. I interviewed Miss Piggy.
Oh, I love Miss Piggy.
And the result is riotous. My God, it's riotous.
Roger has attempted to tell us what the offside rule is. He said the offside rule is easy. The square of the hypotenuse is the sum of the square of the other two sides. What's a hypotenuse?
James, are you going to or am I?
What?
Sounds like something gynecological, but no, I think she means hypotenuse.
Oh, yes. And what's a hypotenuse?
Well, it's part of a triangle.
It's an animal that wallows in mud.
Yes, the type of...
What's that got to do with football?
Listen, I can tell you a little bit about this, but not very much. I had a maths teacher when I was a kid, who was terror personified. He was like old school. And this school that I went to was a secondary modern school in Liverpool called Crosby County Secondary Modern School. And, you know, nobody is more pleased than me that it's brick dust now. I went there, you know, to make sure that it had been demolished.
Did one of the students burn it down?
No, well, we had to. You think that's a joke.
Did they?
One Christmas, somebody did.
Oh, brilliant.
And it took them a year to rebuild the hall, right? With the hall where we did PE and had the assemblies. There was a fire. You know, it was an accident, right, at the school.
Yeah.
And the school, the hall area and all the classrooms were off this central hall. And it was a horrible, horrible, horrible school and a vile, horrible building. You may disagree with this, but it was built in about 1900 or something, way past its sell-by date. And somebody set fire to it, so they burned the school hall. So we got another week's, this is Liverpool. It's a long time ago. So we got another week's holiday.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, it wasn't that brilliant because we had to live with the stink burning wood for the next year until we became a comprehensive school. They closed that place down and they moved us all. They merged the boys' secondary modern school with the girls' grammar school. Okay. And they made a comprehensive school called Chesterfield Road High School. And we were all moved out to there. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me because, you know, I got an education there. The other place just said, get yourself a trade, lad. And you know, if you were good at cross-country running, and I was crap at cross-country running. I was terrible at cross-country running. But if you didn't do those things, then there was nothing down for you. That's what it was. So I had a maths teacher, who's sadly no longer with us, who was a great brain. But I think he felt that he was... And I've only been able to analyze this later. I think he felt that, you know, he was wasted where he was, which he was. He was an intelligent man, but he had a voice like this, look here, lad. And he used to smoke a pipe. He would write down some equations on the board, and then he would light his pipe and nip off to the staff room for 20 minutes while you wrote it all down. And that was a lesson.
Wow.
I don't quite know where this started, but I'm telling you
when
all about...
When you were trying to tell me what a hypotenuse
was. Oh, yes, I used to say, silly old Harry can't add hundreds to our amusement. So cato. Silly old Harry, square over hypotenuse equals something. And that's how you work out the volume of a triangle, I think. I never understood it. Partly because of him, he was an absolute stickler. He'd say, lad, he'd say, Hughes... You're a heathen, which meant that you were rubbish. I mean, honestly, the stories I could tell you about that school and the way that they would, sometimes the 14-year-old boys in Liverpool back then would be fairly big and muscular. They were men.
They still are today. I mean, sometimes you see boys, I say boys walking down the street who are teenagers, but they look like they're 25.
But back in this place, you would see standing around, but by this time they'd repaired the hall that had been burnt down, but you'd see some 6'2", 14-year-old looking down on a teacher saying, I'm not going there, I'm not doing that. And this little teacher would drag this boy up to the stage by the scruff of the neck and then get the cane out and administer punishment.
Gosh.
Administer corporal punishment in front of the school. And that was, you know, that was the way, I mean, we're talking about 1970s here, but that's how things were. You know, it was not the world's great, because I was into radio and jingles and stuff like that and television. So nobody understood, they still don't, nobody understood me. And it was living hell, really, until we merged with the girls' grammar school.
Then it got interesting.
And then it got interesting for a whole raft of reasons, but we got all of their teachers.
Oh.
And they cared. No, I'm not saying that everybody at that original, before anybody says that, I'm not dissing or, you know, debasing that school. But some of the teachers, you know, were kind of eyeing up when their retirement was going to be. And
yeah.
Some of them were brilliant and went across to the other school and were fantastic, like Miss Jones, my geography teacher.
Miss Jones.
You know, one of the reasons I got any qualifications was down to Miss Jones, who became Mrs. Barrett, who I still get a Christmas card from every year. She was fantastic. She's from Birmingham. And she always used to tell the story, there was a television program called The Golden Shot. Remember that? You won't remember that, but The Golden Shot had a hostess called Anne Aston. And Miss Jones used to tell me the story of how her friend, because she was from Birmingham, spoke a bit like that. Her friend was Anne Aston. Yeah. So back in those days. But, you know, without those people, you know, a lot depends on teachers. If you have a good teacher, maybe you've had one. Sounding a bit like BBC local radio. Maybe you've had a good teacher. Call now, 0344-499-1000. But a good teacher can make the difference between you taking an interest and getting somewhere and you being absolutely written off. And I would have been written off if I'd stayed at the first place because they didn't understand me. I was rubbish at sport. I couldn't do woodwork. So I was, you know, zero, big time styly. That would have been it. But for the fact that everything changed. Sorry, I'm on the high horse now, aren't I? Danny in Kilburn, stand by. It'll be nice to speak with you, but we can't do that right now because we've got to take some commercials here. We've got to try and keep some kind of structure going here, haven't I, Hayley? I've already torn most of it apart. So, it's Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes. It is my final appearance doing The Late Show, and everything, I think, returns to normal on Monday night, and I return to doing The Unexplained on Sunday. I've got to do some work on that tomorrow. See, even when I'm not on the radio, I'm still working. Our number here at Talk Radio is 0344-499-1000 on this final night. Er and me would love to hear from you.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
Guitar work there, I think you'll find. James, well picked. What is that, by the way? I like the guitar.
It's If by the Blue Tones.
Of course it is. Hayley didn't know that either.
I didn't know that one.
I thought Hayley was going to turn around
but
and say...
But at least I've heard of the Blue Tones.
God, everybody is all right. Well, I kind of stop at the Kaiser Chiefs. No, they're very silly. Sue, this is another Sue. Thank you very much for what you said. You're looking forward to next week, but you've enjoyed all of this. Well, if you've enjoyed what we've been doing here for the last 2 weeks when I've been doing this, then I think my job is done. I can go home happy. Don't you think so? Thank you, Sue. And anonymous texter, but I can remember who you were because you were on the show when Hayley and I did this a couple of months ago. We were talking about an Elvis impersonator.
Oh, yes.
Who did various rock tunes, you might call them, as Elvis, I think. And you said, do you ever check out the albums I once recommended, Gravelands and Return to Splendor? We played some of that, didn't we, James? Because, James, you were here that night. Yeah, look, I know if it didn't happen a week last Tuesday, James won't remember. But trust me on that one. Trust me on that one. Yeah. Okay. But so, yes, we did play it. Please give your name next time. Not more than just a number. I'm not a number. I'm a free man. Danny in Kilburn, sorry to keep you waiting. How are you?
Hi, so-so.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Anyway, I must be number six.
Well, yes, but who is number one?
Yes, no, that would be telling. Yes.
And what do you want?
Yeah, and what was the other one?
Information.
Information.
You won't get it.
By hook or by crook, we shall.
That's the prisoner.
And then that big bubble thing comes after him.
I went to Port Merion this year, and I saw all of that.
Oh, did you?
We're talking about the classic TV series, The Prisoner. Yeah. One of the greatest TV series ever.
Yeah.
I will not be
filed or something, yeah.
Patrick McGill.
Yeah, I remember him in The Danger Man in about 62.
Oh, my God. That's a little before my time, Danny.
So what I was going to say was about ghosts. I was going to make a couple of points about that, but... the telephone crackle you said, was it, this was on the rotary dial phones on the 700s.
On the 700s, I'm impressed.
Yeah, 737, 727, 707s. All those ones, you know, the one, the last one, the last plastic one. Now, the reason for most of that crackle was basically one main reason.
Mm-hmm.
It, sometimes it could be wires touching another one, but generally speaking, and you got this more often if you lived in a commute, in a large block of flats, was that that was water on the connection,
and that's
in the communal junction box on the wall outside.
That's what I, in the block of flats that I'm living in, the all the wiring is like underneath the pavement. So we've got like this tarmacked pavement walkway around the estate. And the wires for the phones go underneath that. So, of course, whenever it rains, the water goes straight down there and gets into the junction box.
And I'm talking about the old, I don't know if you're talking about the 700s, but this is the days of
I don't know what a 700 is.
Electromechanical pulse dialing. Those, this is pre-System X, pre-1980. Those, what System happened was X. They used to have a communal junction box outside on the wall, and the state of the wiring, there were so many connections going into those junction box boxes, and they were made of rubber. They looked a bit like a biscuit tin, and they were made of a sort of black rubber, and they had a lid on them which had a tiny little sort of tag on it that held it, and often that would fall open, and they were literally open to the all weathers for months and months and months and months. Even in the this was the days of POT, never mind BT, post office telephones, you know, and that's what it was.
Did you work for them, Danny?
No, I did. I have wired telephones unofficially, but those phones and their predecessors and their predecessors.
Because I remember my brother-in-law, as he was, he's not my brother-in-law now, Ray, used to work for post office telephones back in the day. When I was a kid, he'd come and say, Howard, it's all changing now. He said, it's all going digital.
Before the digital, you know, they had a big change in 1980. They went to System X.
That's what he used to talk about. And what's Strouger?
About 1980, because prior to that, you couldn't tell, and no one could tell who was phoning, and the number wouldn't come up on any phone or even in the exchanges. But in 1980, they had this system whereby whoever was dialing, it would come up. They knew that the number would be identified on the screen.
Right, so before a lot of people don't remember those days when you wouldn't know who was calling and there wasn't a way to find out.
Yeah, well, and you had to pay for caller ID, didn't you? Do you remember on
even caller ID, I don't think.
Well, but when caller ID came out, it was really expensive and only my posh friends had it because it was like £5 a month or I don't know what the equivalent
would be. That's right. Well,
yeah,
in the 60s, when I was growing up, you could tap dial from the TKs.
Could you?
Yes.
Was that allowed?
The 200 series, in the days when you had the Bakelite phones from 1930, and it had the cradle on it, and they were electromechanical pulse dialing, and you could tap dial, use the cradle as a dialer.
Could you?
Without touching the dial, yes. But the trouble was, you had to do it not too fast and not too slow, otherwise it would automatically cut out. It was one tap for one, two taps for two, and I think zero was 10. You had to be really pretty good at it. I could do it. I mean, I'm going back to the mid-60s.
So when you see these films, these old war films, with people like Patrick Allen in them, and you've got the German who's in the bunker, and the bunker's been bombed, and the German in the bunker has got a phone, and he's trying to contact base, and he's going like this on the cradle.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, because it wouldn't, that would just cut it out. On a normal system, that would just cut it out. That would just cut out.
So why do they do that in the films, then?
I don't know. When they have these modern reconstructions, supposed to be in the 30s and 40s, and they have those particular models, the 1930 model and the 1940 model, the pyramid and the cheese dish, they have early 60s FWR flexi coily flex on them, which is ridiculous because they didn't have that until 1962, which is when they FWR'd them.
Now you see, we have to back up a bit here for our listener, but those original like Bakelite phones that you sometimes see in junk shops or museums,
yes,
they had like cloth covered flex on them.
And they were, they were four core, and one of those cores wasn't even a line. It was just a hold the thing. It was only three connections from the handset into the back of it. They had five terminals in the back of those, and they had five terminals in the in the 200s and the 300s to teach this as well. It was only when the 737 came out in the early 60s, you had 19 connections in the back. And I used to rewire those. If you made extensions, the only thing is only about five things you've got to change in notes.
Do you remember when? I'm sorry to take you off down another.
I remember the days when you used to have to dial the letters for the exchanges.
Oh, but listen, I remember when my parents bought their first house. Its phone number was GRE. And I won't give the number because somebody's got that number now. It went from GRE, which was GRE for Great Crosby.
Yeah.
And then it became 924. When it
went
on
numbers. It was usually the first letters of the exchange.
GRE.
Those exchanges, like we had around our way, we had around Notting Hill, we had Park, P-A-R, which became 727.
And Royal. What was Royal? R-O-Y.
I remember that one, but I can't think where it was. I remember She for Shepherd's Bush and Riv for Riverside, Hammersmith, and Pad for Paddington, P-A-D, etc. And Terminus, T-E-R, which was King's Cross. And a made of AO MAI was 62, became 624.
So is that how they make area codes?
Yeah.
Is that where area codes come from?
Yes, yeah. And you had to put fourpence in. You had to put fourpence in the old money and press button A.
Oh, button A.
Button B was for the money to come back. Anyway, now the point I was going to make about the ghosties, right, is that I was going to make a general point, like I did recently. I said you can't see the faces often. Psychic smells, I often get those. Even now, and I first noticed them in the early 80s, and the odd thing about it is they build up close to you, very close to you, over a period of a minute or so. They get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And then, after about a minute or 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, they suddenly disappear, just like that.
And when you talk about psychic smells, are you talking about people who smell like lily of the valley, sometimes, flowers? Cigarettes from, you know...
No. I think you've had it on your program, is most people tell you, most psychic smells, it's usually the scent of a flower.
Mm.
It's like a nice scent from a flower. Sometimes you get a horrible stink, and it's like the stinky one you usually get, it's like the stink bomb, like bad egg.
It's not working here.
It's in
the air conditioning.
How you know it's a psychic smell is because, as I say, because of that gradual build-up and that sudden disappearance several minutes later, you get strong, very, very strong. But if where you're standing at the time, if you walk across the room to the other part of the room, it's not there. It is literally even about a square yard of where you're standing. That's how you know it's a psychic smell. But that's how I've discovered it anyway.
So if there's like... because we've put out a lot of information very quickly here, Danny. But if you're talking about a spook or a spirit in a place, and they want you to know that they are there, you're saying that in this sort of 1 meter square area, there will be a smell of something that is connected with them somehow.
Well, I don't know I suppose so. But see, the dark part about it is, I said, you know, I hear things sometimes, I see them, but... when you get a smell, you don't usually see anything or hear anything. It's just a smell on its own.
But listen, you told me this before, that you're psychic, you say.
Yes.
So what do you ever get told anything useful?
Honestly, Howard, I didn't ask to be. Sometimes, believe you me, there are times when I wish I bloody wasn't.
Some people who say they do this stuff, they say it's more of a curse than a gift. Have you ever been told anything that's been, like, directly useful to you?
Not that I can recall. I have had, well, anything I can think of, I have had dreams that have come true.
Have you?
So, yeah, good God, yes. But usually bad, you know, it's usually the deaths of, concerning deaths of people, but...
oh, my Lord, you mean you've actually dreamt that somebody is about to expire?
Yes, yes.
Am I going to be all right, at least until, until I get paid?
And it's come true. Yes, as far as I know. Oh, the other thing, other people have said to me that listen to you regularly, they're saying, is that Howard Hughes, or is it the other bloke on the other station, you know, Eddie Mayer? Because you've got a very similar voice to him.
Oh, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, oh. Eddie Mary's on another station.
Okay.
And he's got a very similar voice to you.
Well, I think his paycheck is significantly higher than the one I get. But that's very kind. I'm sure he would disagree with
Maybe
that.
Maybe you can cover for him.
But no, I'm a big... yeah, I'm a...
You never know.
I remember him from his previous employer, big fan. He's real talent. Yeah. It could be claimed by... But, you know, we've got Eamon Holmes here. I think you'll find that's far superior in so many ways.
Anyway, there I... And the other general observation was made, when I do see ghosts, right...
Mm-hmm.
I used to think when I was a youngster years ago, it's only about, well, late 70s, early 80s, I started consciously recognising these things. But when I do see them, I thought, you know, like you do in the films, that you jump and say, oh, good God, look, a ghost.
You don't.
You don't. It's a total opposite, because it takes a while to dawn on you.
Yes.
It suddenly gradually dawns on you, about a minute's time, oh, blimey, I've just seen a ghost.
You're absolutely, because you're trying to do...
You don't jump. You're not in shock.
And the only reason I know that is because, and I promise you I won't tell the story of how I did, but yeah. I encountered what I now know to have been a ghost in a place that I worked, and it was a guy who was wearing like an old workman's costume.
Yeah.
And I saw him, he was in a place where nobody else was, there was only me and the producer on duty at night, and I went to the loo and went back to the studio, it was a show like this one, late at night.
Oh, don't scare me, I need to go to the loo in a minute, I don't want to walk down the corridor now.
This is a great big bright modern building.
I'm not coming with you.
No, there are hundreds.
Thanks, James.
I think we're all relieved to hear that. But this was a building where there were just the two, Jonathan Dean and myself working. Jonathan was producing. You know, Jonathan was, he used to amaze me, could do anything. Well, he still does, could do anything. But Jonathan was in the control room through the glass like James is now. I went to the loo and I came back. And standing outside the studio door in this tower, see, I'm telling it now, in Liverpool, is a broadcasting location. There was a guy standing there with a cloth cap on, long trench coat, as we used to call them, and a pair of big, shiny, what they used to call workman's boots. Very shiny workman's boots. And I took all of that in about this guy, and he looked at me and disappeared. And that, I swear that's the truth. And then I went in, and I hadn't talked about this with Jonathan. I went back into the studio, and I said, Jonathan, he said, you've seen him, haven't you?
No way.
And I said, I've seen who? He said, the ghost. And everybody there knew that there was a ghost. The only person who didn't know was me, and I saw him. But at the time, I thought it was a person. Until the person disappeared. And I hadn't, you know, I hadn't imbibed your wine or anything like that, you know, before I did that show. I was under the influence of coffee like I am now. And I was in possession of all my faculties. And I saw a ghost. And I swear to my dying day, which is probably going to be quite soon. Who knows? Maybe you know, Danny. I saw a ghost. But I didn't think it was. I just thought it was a man.
No, you don't at the time. Isn't it odd? So, you know, and what was the other thing? There's another misconception. Oh, ghosts only sort of, you only see them in old buildings. You want to bet you see them indoors in modern buildings. You can see them out in the street.
You do.
What was the other thing I was going to say? There was some other general observation. Oh, Christ, it's bloody good. Isn't it typical?
Well, listen, Danny, save it. Save it for Sunday nights or the next time. Who knows, there might be a next time when I do this. I've no idea. But this is the last of it. And thank you very much for coming on and supporting me during these shows, Danny. Thank you very much. Thank you. Take care. Okay, we've just got time to get to, before we have to take some commercials, to Alistair in Lincolnshire. Alistair, sorry to have kept you waiting. How are you tonight?
No problem, Howard, and good evening to you and Hayley.
It's the end of an era tonight, you know. I've done me 2 weeks of filling.
Weeks.
2 whole weeks of it you've had to bear.
Yeah.
And life returns to normal next week.
Happy New Year, Howard.
What's that?
Is it too late to wish you a Happy New Year?
No, it's not. People forget, because I've been working through it. Yeah, it's almost like, well, that was, you know, 2 weeks ago. But, of course, it was only a couple of nights ago. Happy New Year.
Yes, to you and to you, Hayley, but I've already wished you that.
I think people have started to forget what with all the news about how we might be staring down the barrel of World War III, so some people claim and all the rest of it. People have forgotten that actually 2 days ago it was New Year's Eve, 3 days.
Yeah, I was really enjoying the fact that I could, put all the Brexit stuff away in the back of my mind.
I think everyone's pleased about that.
And all the Labour Party and all the Tories and everything like that. And the one thing I was enjoying is I could do that and just sort of have the holiday as it was and just take it and not think about anything. And then all of a sudden this morning, bang, Mr. Trump's at it again. And I thought, oh, no.
Here we go again.
Well, you know, he could have waited a week or so, couldn't he? But that's going to be what the news... But at least it isn't Brexit. And, you know, I as you may know, I've done news for a lot of years, but I just think people needed a bit of a break across the holiday from all of it. Really, the nation is stressed. People have just had, you know, I work in it, and I've had it up to there with it. And that's why it's so nice to do this, because we don't have to talk about those things. You know, across this holiday, because I'm a radio nut, a complete nerd, geek, whatever, I listen to everything and everybody. I'm always listening to see if I can pick up stuff and just to see how other people do things. And the number of times I have heard debated over this holiday period, who is going to be the next leader of the Labour Party? Now, that's fair enough. But when you've heard it 12 times across the holiday, and when you've heard them saying the same names and the same arguments for all of the names, you want to throw yourself out of the nearest window. You know, there was a film, that famous film Network, and I've talked about this here before, you know, where it's a newsreader called Howard, funnily enough, who goes mad. And they say he goes mad on air and goes off script and stuff. And they say, we've got to take him off air now because he's gone nuts. And then they look at the numbers, the ratings, and the ratings are going through the roof. So they say, for commercial reasons, this man's dynamite. We're keeping him on air. Doesn't matter if he's going insane. So he gets the entire American nation. And I want to do this here one night. And I will one of these nights. Because he gets the entire American nation to lean out of the window and shout, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
And it becomes a thing. And then, of course, the guy goes completely over the top. You know, this could be my life story with me. Sorry, Alistair, you call for a reason, and I've just been talking.
No, it's fun to talk, and it's nice to talk to you again. I hope that you'll be back, you know, covering this slots as well, you know.
It's all in the boss's hands. But no, all this sort of late night radio malarkey is all new to me, really. I used to watch people. I would appear on their shows reading their news. And I would think, how do you do that? And I'm sort of very slowly, as my producer Haley will tell you, I'm very slowly learning. It's a magic art, really. Sometimes the stuff that people talk about is not what you think they will. Well, last night everybody was calling about people dying in the bathroom, either in the bath or on the loo. And it's a thing. I even had a police officer, former police officer, say that, you know, that they were called out to a lot of cases of that. And then somebody else say a lot of people expire in the bathroom because if somebody's not feeling too well, then they'll go for the medication in the bathroom and a glass of water and they will expire there, you know.
Elvis.
Well, Elvis, of course, famously, you know, just go online and check out how he left us.
Unless you believe the conspiracy theories that he's still alive somewhere.
Well, I don't. What do you think about that, Alistair? Do you think he's still gardening at Graceland?
No.
I'd like to think he is. It's one of those conspiracy theories that you hope was true.
He might have been whisked away somewhere, but. I mean, how old would he be now if he was still alive?
Well, he would be 80 now, but then, you know, John Lennon would be 80 now, which is a real sobering thought. There's a great documentary that they may run again on Freeview. What's the channel called? It's called
Public Broadcasting.
Yeah, it's Public Broadcast, something like that, PBS. Which is on Freeview at the moment. And they are running this documentary, and they've been running it across Christmas, about Elvis's pack, you know, his entourage, his support team.
Yeah.
And they talk about how sad Elvis was at the end. This guy, you don't think of somebody who is, like, at the top of his game, who came back in the 60s with that, you know, long suit, the shiny suit.
Yeah.
And you don't think of a legend like that being sad, do you?
He suffered a lot from ill health towards the end of his life.
Well, he did because he was very fond of the old burgers. I think that's his.
And
the lesson there for me.
Medication. But I mean, I've watched a couple of docs on Elvis, and I was just a bit sad about how his manager kind of seemed or alleged to have kind of taken advantage of him.
Well, I don't know. I mean, all of these things are, you know, it's part of, I think a lot of these things are part of showbiz. If you want to know how showbiz works, if you haven't seen Rocket Man yet, Alistair, I saw it over Christmas. I was bought a copy of the DVD, and it was I just wasn't ready for that. And my respect for Elton has gone, you know, through the roof since I saw that. But if you want to know how showbiz works and what it is like, even if you're making millions, how hard it can be, even though you're a genius, that will tell you. Alistair, listen, thank you very much for calling while I've been on here these last 2 weeks, and please take care. Happy New Year.
No problem.
Happy New Year.
Anyway, I'll just mention a couple of things.
Got to be quick, because Hayley's going into meltdown now. I've got to get to commercials. So can we do it next time we talk? Otherwise, I'm in trouble.
Anyway, nice talking to you both, and have a great 2020.
You too. Thanks, Alistair. Sorry we had to had to move. Otherwise, Hayley's going to lynch me again. You know, she's
not
got
quite.
The...
Not that bad.
No, you had the implements, so you had the nutcrackers in your bag there, and you were ready to deploy them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so,
Hello? What was that noise?
Where?
Did you not just hear a noise?
No. Was it like a sort of ghostly creak?
No, it was like a
followed
scream.
By footsteps.
A girl screaming.
Did you hear that? A girl scream and a ghostly creak and footsteps down the corridor.
Because I do need to go to the loo during the break, and now you're really scaring me. I'm going to need to take James with me and hold my hand.
Oh, okay.
We'll need to go for a team wee.
No, but it'll be all right, you know. It doesn't happen often.
What? Me going for a wee?
No, the spirit.
Oh, don't. Come on.
It's all right. I'm not saying this building's haunted, but it might be. Okay, 0344-499-1000, HH@HH, and James doing the technical production tonight here on Talk Radio. Stay with us here.
Outspoken opinions and decisive debate. Late nights on Talk Radio.
To Liverpool music. What a great city. Thank you for that one, James, as well. 0344-499-1000. Keith in Aberdeen. Sorry we kept you waiting. If you want to come back to us, 0344-499-1000, I will, because I can do whatever I like when I'm doing these things, we'll put you priority straight on. How about that? 0344-499-1000, and you can talk about anything. Kyle, it would be nice to speak with you on the last show, Kyle, because I miss you. Kyle, just, you know that quote from The Prisoner that I didn't get right?
Yes.
It is, says Kyle. I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own. Just that was my stomach. Did you hear my stomach grumble, or was that yours?
No, I think might be both of us.
It was one of the two.
Yeah, I had a biscuit from outside before, but...
haven't eaten for hours.
Probably shouldn't have done that.
Oh, I don't know.
The biscuits here have been left here just over Christmas, so...
Over Christmas, I brought in gluten-free... mince pies, and they were left, and you explained why they were left and not eaten.
Yes.
Because everybody assumed they were somebody's special mince pies because they had like a medical condition, so they wouldn't touch them. And that wasn't it at all, apparently. I don't know. Our number, 0344-499-1000. If you want to tweet, then you still can. It's at Talk Radio on the Twitter. Text Talk and then a space and your message to 87222. The text will cost 25 pence, plus your standard network charge. Remarkable value, I would say, if you want. Because, look, we're into the last hour and a bit of me doing this. I don't know, it's the end of an era. And that era was called Christmas. Keith in Aberdeen, I'm sorry I was talking on so much that we sort of lost you in the mist. But how are you?
No problem, Howard. I had to pull into the garage here, so I thought I'd best to hang up. But I'm doing fine, and it's been good listening to you. I listen to you every Sunday, so it's been good listening to you through the week.
So how's Aberdeen tonight?
It's actually quite mild up here tonight. It's 8 degrees and it's been a lovely sunny clear day today. It's been really nice.
That sounds cold.
Really nice day.
Well, it's funny you should say that because Norway, which is only up the road from you, it's just, you know, just across the sea from you, they've been having spring weather.
Yeah. Been a cracking winter. It's been really nice up here. Can't complain at all.
No, never been to. I always wanted to go to Aberdeen. I once did, years and years ago. I once had to voice some stuff, use my voice for some stuff for a radio station called North Sound. Is that in your area?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's our local radio station, yep.
Yeah, no. Of course, talk radio is far better than that. But no, I had to say North Sound 2. Whatever.
I actually recognise that now that you say it.
North Sound. There was a time when I used to do, like, journalism and news that Scottish radio, it doesn't exist anymore, but all the Scottish radio stations, most of them were owned by one company, Scottish Radio Holdings, and they used to take me up to Glasgow, fly me to Glasgow, and I would train the journalists. And some of these people would say, we've had to come through the snow and the ice and everything from Aberdeen to hear what you've got to say. And I used to think, geez, I've got to be good then. But anyway, what's going on with you, Keith? What is going on with your life?
Well, Howard, like I said, I listen to you pretty much. I'm a taxi driver, so I listen to you on a Sunday night pretty much every weekend, and I was listening to you last weekend. But one of the things, and I love your Paul Hellier guy when he comes on, the Canadian Defence Minister, when you had him on not long ago. That was a brilliant show, by the way.
Well, the former, I must put that out as a podcast.
I listen to your podcasts as well. When there's nothing else to listen to, I listen to your podcasts.
Oh, I like you a lot.
One of them.
That's at theunexplained.tv, of course, my website.
What I would like you to do, an evening on would be the Book of Enoch and the mysterious things that are written about in the Book of Enoch and why it never gets mentioned in the Bible. Now, I went down to Edinburgh last year with my wife, who's finally got her visa from Arizona. We went down to Edinburgh and we went to St. Giles Cathedral, and Enoch is actually pictured in one of the stained glass windows in St. Giles Cathedral, and that's the only place I've ever seen Enoch actually pictured on a stained glass window.
It's a book of the Old Testament that people don't talk about, isn't it?
Yes, but it's full of so much mystery, and it talks about way back before the Bible, the times of the Sumerians, right back to the Anunnaki. And that's what makes it so interesting, and I would just love for you to do a show on something to explain to people this goings on and what might have been going on in the Book of Enoch. I don't know, have you ever heard of a channel called the Blaze Channel on TV?
I have. I watch it.
Aye.
Well, I'm not listening to talk radio, of course.
Yeah.
It's not very often.
Well, that's the home of the Ancient Aliens at the moment, is the Blaze Channel.
Yeah, I keep trying to get that guy, George Tsoukalos, on.
Aye.
You'll know who he is. And and we can't seem to book him for the show. I want to get him on because he's the one who talks about the NASCAR lines.
Yeah, and the Anunnaki, the H-blocks and Punapuntu and all that kind of stuff.
See, this is all going over Haley's head because she thinks that Anunnaki was somebody who had a hit in 1981 with a song called Japanese Boy. But no, the Anunnaki were an ancient people.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they knew an awful lot.
Supposed to have been the group of aliens, weren't they, that came from planet Nibiru and started the human race. That's what the Anunnaki were supposed to have been about.
Well, that's the story.
Yeah.
That's the marvellous thing about doing that show, I think, because you can look into all of those things, and it's stuff that people often don't get the chance to consider because they're busy, they've got lives, everybody's got a life, so I'm here to sort of go, and I'm learning as I do it, because, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why I think that a show on the Book of Enoch would be so interesting, because it goes that far back in time in history, you know, like 40,000 years ago, you know. And I mean, obviously Enoch was what, Noah's great-great-grandfather?
Mm.
It just, you know, and why was it never mentioned in the Bible? Why is it not spoken about now? And really, why is it being hidden from us? Why was it taken away and hidden from us in the first place?
And other questions, including why, but the one I've always wanted to know the answer to is, why does the Vatican have two observatories? Why is the Vatican interested in exploring the stars?
And one of them's called Lucifer.
Is it?
Yeah, one of them's called Lucifer, and I think it's actually in Arizona.
But I've always wondered, and I've asked a lot of guests over the years, Why does the why is the Vatican interested in space? What is there there that they know about that we don't?
Well, I ticked off one of my boxes in 2017 when I went to Area 51. That's the first time I ever met my wife. I'd went to San Francisco.
That's how you met.
We had 5 nights in San Francisco, and then we had 5 nights in Las Vegas, and we drove out to Area 51.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. It was so good to have finally ticked off one of the boxes. It's been one of my things I'd wanted to do since I was a child growing up, and I never, ever thought I would ever do it, and I did, which... was for me was a big deal, you know, but yeah, it was amazing to stand there and just imagine what's further on behind that gate.
How close could you get? Because they always say, and of course we had Storm Area 51, and a lot of people went close to Area 51 this year, but they always, the story always used to be is that you're not allowed to get very close, and if you do get too close, you know, you're going to get shot.
Well, I got right up to the gates and right up to the barriers, and it's two barriers that come down, so you could do a zigzag in between the two barriers if you want to, but the signage on the fence is scary enough to make you not want to cross over the barriers. But the other side of the barriers is two porta cabins with blacked out windows, so you don't know if there's anybody in there or not. But the place was deserted, but there was a huge pole just at the other side of the barriers with a camera on it. And I walked up and down the desert because the fences disappeared into the desert for as far as you could see. And I walked up and down the desert a few times, and this camera followed you everywhere you went. And I turned around and I said to my, it was my girlfriend at the time, wife now, but I turned around and I said to her, look back there. And about half a mile up a dust track, because there is no road to the barriers at Area 51, it's just a dust track through the desert. And there was a guy sitting on a Land Rover with black tinted out windows. And I went and spoke to him on my way away from Area 51.
What did he say?
I said to him, so how long have you been sitting here for? And he turned around and he says, for as long as you've been here. And I says to him, I says, okay, honestly, I says, what would have happened if we'd have crossed over that barrier? What would have actually happened to us? And he said, you'd have found yourself face down in the desert with an M16 to your head.
And you know something? Some of us might assume that was some kind of joke, but that guy will have meant that big time.
Yeah, I wouldn't, as much as I would have liked to have just crossed that barrier, the signage on the fence is enough to intimidate you not to go there, you know?
But I would love to, if the money ever allows, I want to go there. In fact, I'd like to do some recordings there and do some stuff there. And I'd like to meet Bob Lazar. You know, Bob Lazar, the guy who said that he worked at Area 51.
Yeah, he's actually got a booklet out. I went to, I don't know if you've ever seen the film Paul, where the two backpackers
picked up an alien.
They went to a cafe beside Area 51 called the Little Alien Inn. Well, I went to that cafe and I had a little alien burger in that exact cafe. And it was the woman who worked as a waitress in there who tell us how to get to Area 51 from the cafe. Because obviously there's no signage or anything, you know?
No, I'm sure they don't have road signs that say Area 51 three quarters of a mile that way.
And when we were in Las Vegas, we took a helicopter ride over the Las Vegas Strip, and the helicopter pilot showed us the planes that the employees get onto to take them to their work to Area 51 every morning.
They have a special
airline. There is no markings. They're just white planes with nothing on them. Absolutely no markings at all.
And there's a name for that airline. Somebody will know that. I can't remember the name for it, but they give it a special name. But the planes have no markings on. People go to work on those planes and they fly out from there.
Yeah.
Area 51. I wish we had more time to talk, Keith. I'm glad that you enjoy the shows and you've been enjoying these shows over the Christmas period, because I wasn't sure how they were going to go. So thank you very much for that. Listen, before you do go, do you want to give your wife a name check?
Yes, her name is now Susan Webster, and she's finally got her visa over here. Some of the people at Talk Radio will be familiar with my story, but finally, thank you for your help at Talk Radio for allowing us to broadcast our story. That helped us, even in our own sanity, it helped us just to get it off our chest. So, yeah, Susan Webster's her name, originally Susan Harris from Arizona.
I hope you both have a great new year, and Susan, welcome to Scotland and the United Kingdom. Keith, thank you very much. Take care.
Thanks very much. Thanks a lot.
If you want to be like Keith and come on here and talk with her and me, our number here is 0344 499 1000. My name is Howard Hughes, but only for another hour, actually, after this. We are the Mighty Talk Radio. Stay with us. You won't be disappointed. I promise. I'll give you my word.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
Sound while you're tuning in.
You're listening to a sample of the new jingle package for Talk Radio.
Heaven help us.
Now, I think we have to explain that. James has excelled himself once again by finding that. That's a little bit of, if you're into radio, that is what has been described as the leading jingle company in the world. Jam Creative Productions, Dallas, Texas. And they put out that perfect little piece of demo, basically explaining the radio stations that they make jingles for. They even made one for me. Oh. It goes, talking with you, this is how, well, we got it somewhere.
We should note this was 35 years ago they made
You're
that.
You're joking.
That's how long
time flies.
But people like us are still playing it. And it's still used as their demo. And there's no reason, my listener, you should know this, but the jingle-making capital of the world is Dallas, Texas. And I always wondered why most of the jingles, the good ones, are made in Dallas. I mean, we make some here too, and they're good, but most of the jingles that you will have heard, like back in the days when Tony Blackman was on Radio 1, all those jingles were made in Dallas, Texas, by companies like Jam, and before them, PAMS, Production and Marketing Services, and a company called TM. Tom Merriman died a couple of years ago, was the guy behind that. They're all in Dallas because that's where the musicians are. That's where the great singers and the musicians are. And some people make a choice about their lives. They can either be pop stars, or they decide to have a nice, stable income. And they make jingles, and nobody knows who they are. I mean, one or two people become famous through jingles. People in the business know who they are, like Greg Clancy with a big voice, and a woman called Trella Hart. Trella Hart, yeah, now you won't know who Trella Hart is, but Trella Hart had all of those old jingles where a woman would go, 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 and stuff like that. That was Trella Hart. She had one of the great jingles, so you've just heard that.
Robin Beck was the other lady.
Robin Beck.
Who sang the first time, mm-hmm. which was a number one hit back in 1988. Oh, began life as a Coke jingle, but she was one of the Jam singers.
Funny you should say, you know, back in a long time, I bought a CD of Coca-Cola ads. I don't know whether you've ever heard or seen that CD, and I bet it's on YouTube. But famous recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Tom Jones, Petula Clark, who was big in the States in the 60s with songs like Downtown, they all made commercials for Coca-Cola. And some of them are just, I mean, there's one that almost makes me want to cry. When Petula Clark sings, the summer days are over now, we'll be together, or something like that. We'll sit and have a Coke, and it's like, and things go better with Coca-Cola on a warm and sunny day. Oh, sorry. I've just been into all of this stuff all my life, but I think I'm better now. I don't know. Hey, Jonathan in Worthing, I wish you called. You never called, Jonathan, if you're there. Jonathan has followed my podcast. Even followed me when I was on the BBC for a short and traumatic period, and has followed me here. Jonathan in Worthing, nice to know that you're here. He says, hi, and I will quote what Jonathan says. Jonathan says, my New Year resolution was to stop tweeting Talk Radio. You don't want to do that, Jonathan. You're not doing too well at the moment. You admit yourself. Great show, though, and Haley is awesome, says Jonathan in Worthing, who's your new best friend.
Oh.
You didn't know that, did you?
No, but I'm happy to have another best friend, so...
Mm. And Kyle, why aren't you marking my last show here? Before it all ends. Before the dream is over, eh? 0344-499-1000. You know, I know it's Saturday morning and all that business. It'd be nice to speak with you. Oh, I don't know, Haley.
What's up?
No. Hey, do you remember? They see, look, you've only got to say something and you start me off.
I know, go, go.
Do you remember when everybody used to say, what's up?
What's up?
What's up?
With those, Zeds, not the S's.
What's up?
What's up?
Because of those Budweiser ads.
Yes.
Remember those?
Yes.
James will remember those Budweiser ads. Hey, what's up? But look at that. Oh, I don't know. 0344-499-999-999-499-1000 is our number here at Talk Radio. And there's still time to become a part of all of this. You won't regret it.
Yeah. Apparently the trend for 2020 is going to be plastic surgery, so we're going to get ourselves done up and tightened and everything.
Have you ever thought of having plastic surgery? Not that you need it.
No, I wouldn't mind a bit of liposuction on my thighs.
Really?
If I could afford it, then that's probably what I would do, if I'm
honest.
You
do know how they do that, though, don't you?
So they just put a syringe in and
suck out all that brown fat.
Yeah, brilliant. Yuck. Yeah, but it saves you going to the gym, doesn't it? Yes, going on a diet. Yes, yeah.
Now, have you had lipo? Here we are, we're doing BBC Local Radio again here. Have you had lipo? 0344-499-1000. Because I've sometimes thought of that, you know. I mean, there are people who do all sorts of stuff to lose the weight, but liposuction sounds like an easy way of doing
it. Yeah, because I know it's quite expensive. It's like $10,000 a thigh or something. And I would go for it.
$20,000 for a pair.
If I had the money to burn, I would do it. But apparently the thing that everyone's asking for, or will be asking for this year, is Kate Middleton's happy face.
Eh?
That's apparently what people want. They want a happy face like Kate Middleton.
What, you so they have your face shaped to be like Kate?
Yeah, you can. If you can afford it, you can buy it. You probably could if you had the money.
Well, I don't know.
You'd have to pay for it.
The problem is what they don't tell you is what happens to the skin afterwards.
Oh, listen, what do you mean?
Early in
the
my
skin
career.
They cut off?
Or? Mark in Northamptonshire, we're getting to you in just a second. Yes, I promise. But what happens to the skin? I once did, when I was very young, I once did a documentary, which I was trying to sell to people and didn't sell in the end because I was a silly kid. I went to a plastic surgery company in London to find out all about it. And the guy, I mean, we're talking about a previous era there. He showed me this folio of all of these famous people. And he said, I bet you know who that is. He didn't tell me any of the names.
Oh.
And I can't tell you, but it was a whole folio of famous people who you will know and have heard of and seen on the telly.
Oh, cool.
For years, who went to that place and had plastic surgery. But I wonder, if you have the lipo, where does the skin go? Does your skin tighten up afterwards? Because, you know, you could end up with orange peel at the end of that, couldn't you? If your thighs get sucked out like that, don't you think so?
I'd still give it a go. You're not putting me off, I have to say.
Okay.
If somebody just wants to lend me 20 grand or something, you know.
You want to do that?
As an experiment.
Okay. I want to see somebody who is desperate to have her boobs done for her 40th birthday. And, you know, I don't think you should mess with nature in that way. I don't know.
I think it's tried and tested. I think 50 years ago maybe it was a bit of a risk.
No, I'm sure it's absolutely fine.
It's tried and tested now.
I'm sure it's fine.
I'd do it.
But it just depends on how they sculpt you afterwards.
Well, yeah, but you go to somewhere where they map you out, don't they? They draw on you.
Haven't you seen those programs on Freeview late at night? Disaster, cosmetic surgery disasters.
You watch some weird programs.
I do, and I'm proud of it. Hey, Mark in Northants, nice to hear from you. How are you?
Hello, Howard, and long-time listener.
Oh, that's
to call it on your various travels.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you for the various bits and pieces. But anyway, yes, various bits and pieces. I'm trying to catch up on and bits to do with last week and this, that, and the other. But anyway, where do I start?
Well,
at the very beginning,
because it's a very good place to start.
A radio song. Ask it as a sort of question, but don't ask immediately. Let people have a think about it. A B-side, tuning in, tuning on. Think of who that was. Don't answer it yet. Answer it yet. Let people have a think about it.
Mm-hmm.
To explain to Hayley, the hypotenuse.
Oh, gosh, yes. The rule.
Then we were talking about triangles.
What to do with triangles. I had a quick sort of look up, but it's if you get three lines, one that's three inches long, three units long.
Right. That's not three lines on your shirt. Sorry.
No. But it's, think of a triangle. One's three long. Another side is four long from the right angle, right?
Yeah, I'm drawing on my little pad as we speak.
And the line opposite that right angle is the hypotenuse. But the interesting thing about it is, if you multiply the three by itself, which is squaring it, and the four by itself, squaring it, so three times three is nine, four times four is 16, add those two together, then the line the other side is, what's the opposite of a square?
The hypotenuse is equal. Oh, God, I've lost it now.
No, bear with me, it'll make sense
go
in
on,
a second.
Keep going, yeah,
The line opposite is five long. So if you go five times five is 25, you'll find that 25 is equal to the four times four, which is 16, plus the three times three, which is nine. add the 9 and the 16 together, that makes 25. And some guy, what was it, Plato and Pythagoras in Greek mythology.
Plato was a philosopher, wasn't he?
Sorry?
Plato was a philosopher, wasn't he?
Yeah, but they were also sort of learning stuff. I wasn't going to say about this, but it's like Vitruvius in Roman times. He was noting a whole load of stuff down, and you know the figure where it looks like sort of Jesus, and he's got his arms outstretched with a circle, sort of like Da Vinci Code and all that sort of thing.
I thought Vitruvius was a volcano.
Yes.
No, that's Vesuvius, sorry.
Vesuvius, you got me. But that was to do with relationships of size. So if you, just for instance, talking about doors, if you get your arms outstretched and touch your fingers on the floor, up the side of the door frame and touch as high as you can, and then stand up upright, you'll find, normally speaking, that you're the span between your fingers at the furthest point is pipe. To do with relationships of scales.
So, Mark, what has this got to do with football?
Football?
No, yeah. This is not the offside rule.
This was the answer to the offside rule.
This is the square over the hypotenuse equals the sum of something.
You were saying about the hypotenuse. But
yeah, because we asked about what is the offside rule.
You were saying about football at the time, and what me, and I didn't say about this before it came on, but it was like Howard's knowledge of football, and Howard's got more knowledge of football than I have, is the equivalent of you trying to pronounce the hypotenuse. Hypotenuse.
I'm surprised, though, that nobody tried to teach Haley that at school, though. I thought that was like all of that stuff that I never got, like, what do they call those things?
I tried to avoid maths if I could.
What do they call those things where you replace numbers with letters? What's that? That's algebra.
Right.
I could never get that. What's the point of algebra? If A equals C, what is Z equal?
The simplest way of saying it is they use the letter N, right? N meaning any number. So it could be like the 3-4-5 triangle. You could replace them with N, but you put a little 3 and an N and a little 4 and an N and a little 5. So any number relates to it.
Have you got like an A level in maths or a degree
in
maths or something?
You're a maths teacher.
You know
aren't you?
Stuff, don't you?
I'm worse.
Well, you're a professor. Are you a professor?
Yeah. What? Tell us.
Yes.
What's your qualifications?
Are you really?
Yes. Okay. But I don't teach now. It got all political.
Were you a professor in maths or
no, design. It was sort of design and engineering and various other bits and pieces. That'll trigger me to go to the subject I was going to say about. I can actually see the moon in the west at the moment. And it's just over half moon at the minute. And on the 10th, I can't remember if it's in the morning or the evening, the moon will go into slight shadow of, the moon will go into the shadow of the Earth from the sun. Only a little bit here. It happened last year as well. But
so it's a kind of eclipse effect, sort of.
In the reverse, as to call it. But it causes the shadow on the moon to be slightly odd. But going from that, it was to do with the sort of strange but true but unexplained and all that sort of side of it. But there's a lot of things in historical things, going back to the Greeks and this, that and the other, is that sometimes you might look at something now and think, oh, someone thought about that 1,000, 2,000 years ago or more.
Mm.
So the scientists are saying about Theia. Have you heard of that word?
Theia?
Theia.
No.
What it was going into the scientific realms for a moment, is there was another planetary body that hit what we call the Earth and formed the moon. And basically speaking, the what was before the Earth, which was known as Gaia in the various mythologies, but bear with me, sorry, I'm trying to think of all this at the same time. But it's anyway, you've got these two objects hit one another, and then the rubbish, as they call it, forms the moon. And they found that what's on the moon is the same as on the Earth. Now, that's what they're saying at the moment, and they've sort of come to the conclusion that's what must have happened. when you go into a bit further, the what was before the Earth was very molten at the time, and that mathematically works out to form the Moon, because the Moon's actually quite large in the sense of Moon, the size of the Moon compared to the planet size. But anyway, you go, jump back into Greek mythology, and Theia was the mother of the Moon.
So it's all mathematical then?
Well, not so much mathematical, it's the Greeks had worked, had put these names on things,
mm-hmm.
for the Theia being the mother of the Moon, and we're just starting to realise that there's this other object that hit the Earth that formed the Moon.
So where is that?
Where is that?
Mm.
Underneath their feet.
Ooh.
You've got about two, I reckon about three or four, I'd say iron spheres, that's not technically correct, but it's about correct.
Gee, Mark, you know, you may have noticed I've been very quiet over the last couple of minutes while you've been speaking. That's just because I've been trying to prise my jaw off the table. Hey, listen, we're running, I've got Haley here shaking her fist at me because we've got to get to commercials.
Bear with me a second, just to
read. If you can do this in 30 seconds or less, then the floor is yours.
Right. You've got these spheres underneath us. They're moving around, and that's more or less why the North Pole is moving.
Oh.
Because the actual magnetic sphere underneath. And a very quick one,
mm-hmm.
is we are travelling towards, what was it? Oh, I've forgotten the name.
Road to Nowhere?
No. You said about the planetary system before the break. Oh, sorry. I've forgotten the name of it now.
Gallifrey. Oh, no, that's Doctor Who. No, I'm sorry, Mark.
No, sorry, I forgot.
That's all right. Well, listen, send me an email through that website, my website, theunexplained.tv, and because we've only got half a story
here. I hope all that made sense, sorry.
But I have three words to say to you, and please remember them.
Andromeda. Sorry.
Andromeda. Of course, three words to say to you. Happy New Year. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for supporting me. The square of the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the squares of the other two sides, says Mr. Bland, who's just texted. Thank you for that, because I would never have remembered that. Howard and Haley and James, with his unique musical selection here on Talk Radio, 0344-499-1000. You've got our number.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late nights on Talk Radio.
If you are an unexplained listener and you're aware of the work of the late and great Art Bell, he used to use that on his radio show all the time. And Art Bell, if you're there in the cosmos anywhere, thank you for inspiring me, and we still miss you, you know. Right, we are Talk Radio. Our number here is 0344-499-1000. Mr. Linton, thank you very much for the tweet. Mr. Linton says, Howard is such a good broadcaster. You're listening to the same person. Thank you for that.
Be your brother or something.
No, he says, I really wish you'd have him on more often.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if I can print that out for the boss. And Bazza, thank you for this one. There's a great story there, Bazza. I wish you'd come on and tell us this one. My granddad lived in Dallas, where they make the jingles, for 4 years in the 70s. He wrote jingles for a couple of companies there and once got to be in an advert for furniture with the actor who played J.R., Larry Hagman.
Cool.
In Dallas. Bazza, that's a great story. We want to hear more like that. If you want to come on and tell that, we've still got time, you know. We've got a whole half an hour stretching like a golden highway before us. Kyle in Rochdale, I'm glad you came on the last show, Kyle. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Howard and Haley. Too many H's.
I know.
Enough for me to. I can't do
it's
that.
Good though,
get
isn't
your
it?
Mouth around it, don't you?
Well, I was going to say, I have noticed that I'm often in that London, and I do tend to drop my H's more than I used to.
Oh, really?
So instead of saying hang on, I would say angle.
My mother used to tell me when, you know, I was a child growing up in Liverpool, my mother used to tell me off for dropping my H's, and I still do it.
Yeah, well, it's only London, but I do hang about one of my best mates, which is something I've got to tell you about. I've got a whole little list that I've had scribbled down. So, yes, one of my best friends is in Clerkenwell in London.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he tends to drop his 80s. I picked it up from him. I did do on my own little radio show tonight, I did make the fatal mistake of saying, blah, 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 one of my best friends. And honest to God, people were texting me going, I thought I was your best friend.
Oh God,
you alienated your friends.
I had to backpedal pretty rapidly to get out of that one.
Oops, so was this on Reclaimed Radio?
It wasn't. You say, do you know what? I never mention that when I ring up, do I? I never do.
No, well, you see, over this holiday period, though, you know, we did you a jingle. I hope you're grateful.
No, do you know what? I've still got it. I've yet to deploy it, but I've got it.
Have you not used it yet?
No, well, I was going to, because the first show was tonight, because I did one in, what day would it be? It would be New Year's Eve. I was down on New Year's Eve in London, but I didn't have all my stuff with me, so I couldn't do it easily.
Did you watch the fireworks? Did you get a good view? Where did you...
I did. So I was about, I'm trying to think, because you'll probably both know it. So I was in Clerkenwell, which is, what, about a mile away?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's east-ish,
So I was just sort of looking at the window. Yeah, Clerkenwell. Oh. And just looking at all the bright lights and weird. I could hear all the explosions before, about a second after the TV.
Before the TV. Brilliant.
But I used to go out with somebody. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to go on to this. I used to go out with somebody and she had like a rooftop flat, get me?
Lucky man.
Why did you leave her? That's amazing.
Oh, don't even. God. Oh.
I think we've all got these. I used to go out with somebody who had a flat near Tower Bridge.
Oh, that's amazing.
And literally, I would go to work on those mornings when I might have stayed there. I would go to work and the taxi would take me. This would be like well before 5 o'clock in the morning across Tower Bridge with the sun rising over Tower Bridge. And I just used to think, I'm just some kid from Liverpool. I can't believe I'm doing this. But sorry, that's a whole other story and a long time ago and very far away, Kyle.
No, I was going to say it's a matter of... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean... I've still got my little list of things that I can pick one.
Plenty of time. Go for it.
You have the time, we have the inclination.
Thank you very much. No, but it was weird because when you said about being in London, because I think you both know that I used to work in London, in Westminster.
Yeah.
That area. Vague. But it was so weird and I could never believe that I could walk to work from where they were, like, putting me up. From where I was staying, I used to be able to walk into the office.
Amazing.
And it always amazed me, because, like, a little bloke from Rochdale has got, like...
I think these things stick with you. They really do. I remember the September the 25th, a long time ago, the first day that I worked in London. And I was working at a radio station that was based near sort of Chancery Lane way. The Gough Square was the location, very famous location. And I couldn't believe that I'd worked on little local radio stations all around the country. And it was a sunny day. I remember getting the train to Waterloo Station in London and deciding to walk across the bridge and walk to work. And I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. And then I couldn't believe it when I got to work and people were actually nice to me. Because I thought, this is London, it's going to be dog eat dog, and it's going to, everybody's miserable, and they're going to bite my head off, and they were lovely.
I can honestly, sorry, Hayley, sorry.
No, I was just saying, see, it's true.
No, I never ever, even now, I never get tired of it, which is I'll wind back every sort of month or a couple of months, because I just do, it's like a second, I love it, then,
I was working in Birmingham before I came here, and there was a guy in Birmingham, I won't give you his name, he's very famous, he's a top guy, but he said to me, you're going to London, you don't want to go and work there, he says, they all poo on their mates, he didn't use the word poo, though.
Yeah.
No, we don't, we're nice people.
And it was all very nice, in the end.
I think everyone is lovely that I've met, so I was going to say, so I had various... Like I said, and you can pick all these topics, both of you, whichever you want. So,
should we do a topic tombola? Imagine a tombola spinning round, and what do we stop on?
That's amazing. So you've got on the wheel, Hayley.
It's the wheel of fortune.
Yeah, you've got jingles. You've got Hitler Terminal. You've got The Prisoner. You've got Howard's Christmas Dinner. You've got My Old Telephone, and you've got Alpha Sounds. And why I got into radio. It's a plethora.
Start with the Christmas dinner.
Well, the Christmas
dinner.
I was going to say, this to me,
sums up this series of 2 week shows, because I've rang up, I think, every, and I'm sorry to upset you, Harry, but I think most of the conversations I've had with you is about pigs in blankets.
Well, there was a bit, there, we had a certain amount of that. I thought you were going to say sums up the 2 weeks of shows burnt and rancid.
But, well,
you know, no, we did talk. You see, Hayley, you missed all of this, where we were talking about piggies in blankets.
Yes.
And you were able to get them when they were selling them off, weren't you, after Christmas?
Did. Yes, I put that picture on Facebook.
It's weird that we never have them, well, I don't at least, at any other time of the year. If they're that good, why don't we just eat them all the time?
Well, do you know, I know, cause I did wonder that, because they're easy enough to make, aren't they?
Yeah.
So why do we not... I don't get it.
It's not like it's hard to get,
well,
is it?
It's tradition, isn't it? It's tradition.
Yeah,
it's what people do.
But they were the, I do have to say, they were the most gorgeous sausages ever.
Oh,
but
nice.
It's M&S, isn't it? So, but they were lovely.
Oh,
but,
you know, posh ones.
I feel a bit cheated though, because I wanted to have, because Christmas and the New Year have flashed before me, because I've been doing these couple of weeks, I haven't really experienced them. So I promised myself that next week I was going to do myself a Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And then I really am going on the diet. But you can't get all of those things. You can't get like the pre-prepared sprouties and the veggies that are done specially and the piggies in blankets. I was going to do the whole thing. Oh. You can't get them now, Kyle.
But well, hang on, confused, right? So, but the only thing, you're the boss, right? But the only thing of that dinner that would be difficult to replicate is the pigs in blankets, surely.
So you can make those yourself, though. Just
yeah,
get
but
a
I'd have to do the
bacon.
Sprouts myself, though. And the ones that you put in the microwave that have got the butter and chestnuts
Ooh,
in them, you know,
lovely.
Already done. They're the ones I want. But they stopped doing them. I went to check yesterday.
Oh.
I went to,
well,
you know,
to M&S yesterday and checked.
But you know, to roast them, not boil them. That's the secret, Howard. And maybe chopped up bits of lardons with them.
Do you know, I was so convinced that I wasn't going to be able to get all of the stuff for a Christmas dinner, and time was like pressing, and I was doing loads of stuff. I actually bought canned potatoes. I bought canned ham. I bought stuff in cans, vegetables in cans, just in case I couldn't get stuff. And I bought powdered bread sauce, all ready to go, just in case, just so I could
You're
have
that
something.
Person, just because the shop's closed for one day, you buy everything just because the shop's closed for one day.
And
You're
why
that
exactly?
Person.
On New Year's Day, I don't know what it was like where you were, Carl, but it was like random which shops were open and which shops were shut.
Yeah, it was, well, I think there was
random.
One, most of the shops were shut, I think. Although, what was the
I
one
went shopping
thing?
On New Year's Day, I went to the sales.
Oh, no, New Year's Day, well, that was, yeah, but, oh, can't know what said the company, but there is a popular pharmacy shop that might sell other things.
Yeah.
Doc Martens might do them as well. And,
yeah.
But I went to those sales, and they were absolutely rubbish.
No, I got loads of in Boxing Day. That's, if we're going to talk about the sales, I can do this. This is my expertise. James can do music, I can do shopping.
Right.
For that shop, it's Boxing Day you need to go, because I hope none of my friends are listening, but I often buy some Christmas presents on Boxing Day from that
shop. For the next year?
For the next year.
That is organisation above and beyond the call of whatever it is.
Just sharing.
How did you do that?
Just sharing.
And I bet you've got your Christmas cards, haven't you, already?
I've still got some left over, actually, so I'm good with Christmas cards, because I was tempted to buy some in the sales, but I thought, no, don't buy too many.
I do have to say that when I was writing my Christmas cards, I was checking, because I seem to have loads from random boxes. Do you ever do that?
Yeah, it's annoying. And then you can't find the envelope to fit.
Yeah.
And so you're sending a little tiny card in a great big envelope.
Yeah,
I've done that
this
year.
I've done that before.
So I was doing that before, and I was also, but I was checking. This is awful. I was checking whether the dates, it's always about checking dates for me, isn't it? I was checking whether it actually printed, sort of, you know, printed by Tesco in 2016, or
so
whether
you know
it was a bit,
how long you've had them for.
Yeah, God, I don't want people, because in my mind, people are going to be opening those cards going, no, he's had this. He's bloody 2012.
Yeah.
There's always one person, though, and I'm pretty... I've got a little list of the people who I send Christmas cards to. There's always one person that just the day before Christmas Eve, or even on Christmas Eve itself, you get a card from that person and you realise, I didn't send them a card. What are they going
to
think?
And next to your list of names of who you send to, do you tick off who sent you once, then you don't send them one the next year
no,
if they don't send you one?
All in my head.
Oh, really?
I remember. I don't bear grudges, but I remember.
Oh, that's so good.
Do me down and you pay. No,
I was going to say the other thing as well, and I still think, have I told you when my birthday, well, there's no reason I would, I don't think it's come up in the conversation on this show with you, but my birthday is the 25th of January, so I'm always convinced, so it's lovely to get a present, I'm not ungrateful, but I'm always convinced, it's like you bought that in the bloody sales. You've bought that, and
yeah.
If you bought that,
because my birthday's so close.
Well, right, it's logical, isn't it? I bet some people in your lifetime have done that. They've given you something that they've been given for Christmas, and then they've
re-gifted.
And they've re-gifted it.
Yes.
No.
That's a good word. I didn't know that word. You know all the retail terms, Hayley.
I'm good at shopping. I can do that. If you need a retail expert, I'm your lady.
Now, Kyle, would you eat insects? Yeah.
Would I, no, well, it's funny because obviously, because when you were saying about the tinned potatoes, I was thinking I'd probably eat those a few years out of date. However, no, no, and that new vegan bake thing doesn't, no.
Okay, because according to the famous culinary guru.
Failed.
What's that?
Vegan. Greg's are now doing vegan steak bake. I did try because I thought we could do it. Somebody suggested on Twitter today. Somebody suggested on Twitter today to me that we should do a taste test on air. So I was like, brilliant idea, up for that. But the one at London Bridge, which is near where we work, they sold out the steak bakes. So a little bit far too late in the evening for
now
that.
I wonder if that's just like an initial flurry and, you know, 2 months from now they won't be buying them.
Completely.
Who knows?
Well,
maybe they'll catch on. But no, Prue Leith, who's very famous in culinary circles, says that in the future, in fact, in the paper it says Britons. Nobody uses the word Britons. Only newspapers use the word Britons. Mm. You know, people in conversation don't say that. But anyway, Britons should overcome their squeamishness about insects and start eating them instead of meat, says Prue Leith. I don't know about that, Kyle.
Yeah, but so apparently I'm led to believe, because I'm not vegan or whatever, right, but I'm led to believe... I've just realised that doesn't make any, like, point of argument. But anyway, but people say, don't they, they're full of protein. So if they cooked it, this is horrible, but if they cooked it in such a way that you didn't know, you'd eat it, surely. If somebody just gave you, like...
Well, yeah, it probably tastes like chicken.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But who's that guy? Who's the guy who does all these... Is it Bear Grylls? It's Bear Grylls, isn't it? The stuff that he eats.
Yeah. So there must be something in it, but from my point, I'm just like, no, I'm not... I do remember I had a friend who went to, was it Thailand or Korea? There was somewhere she went, and on the markets they do have sort of the insects in lollies or something. Or you just pick them up and buy them and eat them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was just like, not a chance. But if you didn't know what it was, then you'd probably give it a go, wouldn't you?
I don't know, really. It's like black pudding. It's like, as long as you don't know, when I was a kid, I used to eat black pudding. We always had we'd always do a big cooked Sunday breakfast. My dad would get up and do it on a Sunday. Lovely. And we'd have black pudding, you know, blood pudding. Now, I didn't know until I was about 14 what that was made from.
No, don't say blood pudding. No, it's black pudding. Don't say blood pudding. That will put me off.
Well, I had no idea. I just thought it was like some nice spicy whatever. And then I realised.
You should have kept thinking that.
Yeah, but it's not. No, but no. Somebody like gave you that. I said, Howard, I've made you a lovely fry up, and there's a bit of black pudding on the side. Would you not eat it to be polite, or would you think, well, you know what, a long time ago?
When I was seven. I went round to a friend's birthday party. It was the first kid's birthday party I've ever been invited to. And all the local kids were around there, and it was Mark Axoy was his name, right? He became an airline pilot in later life. I think he lives in Australia now. It was Mark Axoy, and they had a bit more money than we had, and his mother laid on a fantastic spread. I think Mark was partly French, but anyway, it was great. But they had, in the shape of a rabbit, a blancmange. And because it was pink and it was in the shape of a rabbit, I thought it was a dead rabbit and I wouldn't eat it.
Oh.
See, it's all coming. I've never told anybody that story all my life. Kyle, listen, we've got to get to commercials here. Happy New Year. Please keep listening.
And you too, both. Have a good one.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Kyle in Rochdale, our friend here on Talk Radio. There's still time. It sounds like one of those commercials for a furniture company, doesn't it? There's still time for you to get on Talk Radio. Call now, 0344-499-1000. Talk Radio is based at Purley Way, Croydon. Terms and conditions apply.
Outspoken opinions and decisive debate. Late nights on Talk Radio.
Few people understand the psychology.
Have mercy. Booker T and the MGs, time is tight.
top tune. See, James is doing the music tonight. I know I'm in safe hands when James does the music. This reminds me of a guy who used to be on the national radio and still does radio shows called the Emperor Roscoe. Remember the... James, do you remember the Emperor Roscoe? Oh, yeah, right, okay. Now, Emperor Roscoe kind of took his lead from Wolf... You must know of Wolfman Jack. Wolfman Jack, the man who used to say, "Have mercy!" He used to broadcast out of Mexico into America and became massively famous. Check him out on YouTube. If you've never heard of Wolfman Jack, he was a star of the movie American Graffiti. If you watch American Graffiti, you'll see Wolfman Jack talking like this, and Emperor Roscoe began to sound like that. Soul Man. Haley... That's all going over your head, isn't it?
It is a little bit.
Haley's thinking, can I get back down to gym? Not yet, Haley.
No, oh no, I've been once today, that's enough.
Do they do? I think they should have all-night gyms.
They do, 24-hour gyms, all over the place. I have three,
don't have them in my suburb.
They probably do, trust me, they do. It's quite normal.
So for shift workers and people like that, they can go pound the iron or whatever you people do.
Very normal.
And you've been doing some working out.
Well, I went once this year, so let's see.
That this year, in the 3 days of the year that we went?
Yeah, I've been once.
And what do you do? I mean, do you do those? What are they, bench press?
Some whiffs. Lifts.
Whiffs?
Whiffs. I thought of lifting because you were doing a lifting move, but my brain was saying weights, so it kind of went into whiffs.
Mm-hmm.
Weights and lifts at the same time.
And Kim, when you do that stuff, how long does it take for you to see, you know, like results?
Well, the problem is I go to the gym once and get all excited about it, then I don't go for 3 months. So unfortunately, I don't sustain it. So that means that I never really see results. I think so, you have to go routinely to see results.
You know, I mean, call me Mr. Hard Heart and Mr. Nasty here, but what's the point if you don't see it through and you never do? Why bother?
Well, that's just a universal question, though, isn't it? For all of us.
What, like, what is the point of life?
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Well, no, we've got, you know, 10 minutes to go before Martin Kellner's here. We could put... Roger says, there's a possibility the thin gas that surrounds both the Milky Way and Andromeda stretches out as far, so far, that they already met. So technically, the galaxies have already started merging.
Oh.
And no one told us.
How did we miss that?
Well, Roger told us. Thank you, Roger, for your tweet. It's very nice of you.
Very nice. He does tweet a lot, but he never calls. Roger, we miss you. We need to hear your voice.
Yes. Why is Roger... Is Roger a caller? Does he call at times?
Yeah.
Roger?
Yeah, I've spoken to him.
If you're there.
I have spoken to him.
03444991000. You won't regret it. It'll be a life-enhancing experience. So frequently
is. Is there a money-back guarantee if they don't like it when they call us?
Well, yes, but terms and conditions apply.
Oh, right.
As they so often do. And what was this thing in the news today about, we kind of did it yesterday. We looked at, when Bestie was producing me yesterday, I call her Bestie, but Bessie was producing yesterday, but she's my new Bestie. We did a look at the newspaper BFF front pages, and they said that they were, exactly, BFF, they said that they were, the government is looking for weirdos for ideas, straight people who think out of the box.
That's you in a nutshell.
Well, I think that's got to be, you know, that could be my... Maybe that's why I had that dream. Yes. So the whole show
has been
a complete circle. It's like the circle of life. It takes me back to my dream about being in Boris Johnson's cabinet. Wow. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I am one of the weirdos that Mr. Johnson and his team are going to be looking for ideas from. I say we need... a law that says everybody who presents radio shows is paid 5 times as much as they're paid now, apart from the really highly paid ones.
Oh, I like that law. And can producers get paid 10 times as much as they're paid now?
Yes, we're within certain limits.
Oh, if their name's Haley?
Yeah, well, maybe if their name's, yeah. Oh. And if there's an R in the month or something like that.
Oh, okay. That sounds good to me.
And among the conversations we had before we came in here tonight, are we allowed to talk about your sojourn in Glastonbury?
Oh, if you want to, if you like to.
How was that, Haley?
It was nice. It was nice and relaxing.
That's why, just to explain to my listener, that's why Haley has not been here all of these nights that I've been doing.
I took some time off. I know. I don't know how that was permitted.
And you abandoned me to the wolves.
I did.
By going
but you
to Glastonbury.
Survived. You're still here to tell the story.
I am 2 weeks on, Haley.
I know.
Did you climb? They've got a big hill in Glastonbury.
The tour? No, I don't. My husbands and my friends do, but my husband.
Your husband?
Not in plural.
Are you a bigamist?
Yeah. Well, maybe apparently so.
We could make news tonight. You get yourself on the front page of the
Caliber. I don't do heights.
Uh-huh.
So no,
it's a very gentle climb, though, Hayley.
I did try once going up a place called Weary Old Hill, which is a hill in Glastonbury, but not down the road from the tour. And I didn't attempt that too well. And I did once try the tour, but it was at night. And I got I didn't even get halfway up. That's a lie. I got up about 10 steps and I was just like, this is too high for me. And I remember my friends were like, we're not even at the base yet.
It's the height and not the
and
exertion.
You can't hold on to anything. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. There's nothing to hold on to. And that's what I've said to all my friends, is that if there was stuff to hold on to and I felt more secure, then I could probably do it.
Hmm. I think we've got somebody calling us here.
Cool. It's a phone-in show.
If somebody calls, grab that call. 03444991000. Now, I did walk the tour, but I have to say I got all puffed out because I'm out of condition.
Yes, well.
But maybe it's got to be one of my... Heddy. We never hear from Heddy. Heddy's trying to get in touch. Oh. That's what it is. To wish us happy. Well, no, I won't spoil it.
James is on the phone, so yes, James probably is on the phone too.
That's what it's all about. And Martin Kellner, by the way, is here through the night. Yes. We will discourse with Martin about what's going to be on his show. At the appropriate time, not right now. But
you need to come with me to the gym if you can't get up.
What, the all-night gym? You've got to go to the all-night gym.
You could go now after work, see?
Mm-hmm. And look at the state of me now, though, Hayley. What kind of a state would I be? Heddy, how nice for you to call. Nice of you to call.
Am I going to regret this?
No, of course you're not.
Hi, Heddy. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm fine. It's been a really tiring Christmas. What about for yourselves?
It's been a tiring Christmas for you because you wrote that fantastic jingle for us 2 weeks ago when I started doing all of these shows. How did you do that?
Well, the music's been in my head for...
Talent.
It's a bit of an old song. The lyrics were the difficult bit, trying to put all that stuff together. You know, all about you, Hayley, and your show. And it took 23 takes.
You're kidding. But hang on, the stuff that we were talking about in the first hour, you included that in that song. And by the time we got into the third hour, you'd sent it to us. So you had done the instrumentation. You'd written lyrics for this thing that ran for about 2.5 minutes or so. I just think that is, I couldn't do it to save my life.
I can't do it every Christmas.
Well, no, I don't think I'll be here every Christmas, Eddie, so it's all right.
it just comes to you as a muso. You tend to get things happening all at the same time.
I'm trying to find it on my phone here. Have you got it?
James has it. Don't play it again.
No, it's so good because we played it, I think, across the 2 weeks that I've been on. We played it twice, but I just think that you're a genius for being able to put that together. But not only if you took a day to do that, I would be impressed. But you did it in less than 2 hours.
Well, I should never have become a scientist because I think and that's what I am.
Oh.
I should have actually just picked up the guitar and become a proper musician and done these things, but it's a dog.
It's never
dog
too late, Heddy. Don't say that. You sound the chance has gone.
Yeah, you must never say never.
Never.
Roger Moore once said. Hey, Heddy, we've got the song. We're going to play it. So stay where you are and we'll come back to you after it. Even if you're embarrassed, we want to hear it because this is the last chance you're
going
to get.
We can't see you going red. It's all right.
Exactly. And this is the last chance you're going to get to hear it. So here it comes.
Hey, Santa, pass us that bottle. Merry Christmas, everyone. Howard Hughes is chatting now. I'd rather hear his Scouser cheer than that idiot Bacow. The ghost of Christmas Caddick is haunting radio, bringing you some Christmas woo and Becky's on the show. Merry Christmas, everyone. Howard Hughes is on the dab, bringing tales with spooky wails. Tune in, it's really fab. He had a broken boiler, repairman made a call. I must insist, Dave didn't exist. He's got no friends at all. Merry Christmas, everyone. Double H is on tonight. Not if a goose that was so spruce. Calm down, alright. Haley's in the corner, keeping things in line. making sure he plays the Cure or mistletoe and wine. On the first day of Christmas, my TV gave to me a draft schedule on the BBC. Good night, HHs.
Thank you very much.
Good night, Hedy, wherever you are. Hey, listen, Hedy, that was incredible. And the way the recording is fantastic. It's like a proper studio recording.
Well, I've not unpacked my studio. I've moved to a new flat last week, and that was just done using a laptop and a mic, and I slowed it all down so you could hear the words a little bit clearer. And
but you actually wrote down and remembered stuff that we talked about in hour one. In hour two, you worked on that song. By hour three, we had the song.
Which we are honoured.
Well, we are on it.
Just like Neil Armstrong landing that eagle on the moon, wasn't it?
Well, no, it was more than one small step. Hedy, listen, Happy New Year. Thank you very much for being part of my Unexplained show. I've got Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center on Sunday. And I'd love you to be here on Sunday because we've got Marcus Chown, famous scientist, on. So, you know I know nothing about science. So any questions that you have for Marcus Chown, Hedy, we'd like to hear from you. And Happy New Year.
I've just got one last thing to say.
Just quickly.
Be seeing you.
I'll be seeing you too. A little bit of a reference to The Prisoner, which Martin Kellner, who's on next, will get.
Oh, absolutely. I just love The Prisoner. Brilliant.
Martin, I was just so far ahead of its time. And like yourself.
Right. Oh, bless you. No, I'm a little bit behind me, someone probably.
Yeah. What's in your show tonight?
Well,
are you waiting for that question?
It may turn out to be a half-decent show tonight. You never know. We'll be paying tribute to one of the giants of radio, not yourself, Howard, but Donna Imus, who died this week. Mm. I love reading the obits in the... It's the first thing I turn to in the papers every morning is the obituaries. Mainly to check that I'm not in there, and obviously if I'm not in, it's safe to carry on.
Important.
And why does everybody die in alphabetical order? But anyway, John Imus died this week, as well as Neil Innes, who I'm sure you're familiar with his work.
We had Mike Reed on the show the other night, doing a tribute to him, because Mike Reed worked with him.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Ah, right.
Long story.
Loads of people did, yeah. So we'll pay tribute to those two, and I've got a few clips and a bit of Neil Innes.
Because you know you're famous, though, don't you? When you are referred to by one part of your name, one name. So Imus, everybody knows who Imus was. It's like Tarrant here. You say Tarrant, everybody knows who that is.
Yeah. Hughes.
Scylla.
Yeah.
You know what?
Scylla. Sting.
Martin.
Cher. Mark. Yeah, as long as you know one name, so we've got that and we've got loads of other stuff.
Right,
as well.
It's Kellner here. Right. After 1 o'clock on Talk Radio. Martin, thank you very much.
No worries.
It's a pleasure to work with you. So my 2 week stint is pretty much done.
Back to normal now.
I'm breathing a small sigh of relief and I've actually survived it. Because, you know, it's not what I'm used to doing here, you know, but I've really, really enjoyed it. So thank you to Hayley and James and all the people I've worked with, just about everybody in this building over the last 2 weeks, Martin.
It's
all
been a bit of a conveyor belt, hasn't it?
Well, it's been a bit of a smorgasbord of talent, I think you'll find. But I've
smorgasbord of talent.
Look at that. You see, my last few seconds, I'm still being creative. Look at that. That's what they pay the big bucks for. Sadly, they don't pay them to be. Hayley Hayes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It only remains for me to say, in these dying seconds, my name is Howard Hughes. I'm back on Sunday on The Unexplained. Have a good night. Martin Kellner is next here on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
This is Talk Radio.